Live.com. Tomorrow's news today. Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
I'm not live, am I?
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Thank you for joining us for this live Thursday edition. We're continuing to chronicle each step of our nation being set up by Israel and BlackRock and the globalists, being sucked into a Pyrrhic victory on the good end, a total defeat on the bad end. A Pyrrhic victory is a strategic defeat. That's the modern term, a strategic defeat. Axios is now reporting, along with the Wall Street Journal, this Mediaite article posted at the top of Drudge, Trump exacerbated, where it lays out the fact that the Pentagon officials and top advisors are warning Trump that, yes, you had some tactical victories, but you're having a strategic defeat. That means a Pyrrhic victory. Pyrrhic victory means you on the surface win a war, but really lose the war. And Iran wants a whole new security arrangement with the U.S. basically out of the Middle East, and that's been their demand, and that's where this is going. You now have them attacking the Iranians, the Suez Canal port connected to Egypt. We are 152 days into this total disaster. Now we have Joe Kent, the former head of counterterrorism, who warned against all this and resigned 2 weeks into the war. Joining us today, massive guest with incredible sources. And then we also have another individual with incredible research and sources, Michael Yon, joining us today. We're going to be going over all of this. So remember, you're the Paul Revere's. The goal here is to warn the public so they know what's happening, to generate enough grassroots support to Congress to have them invoke the War Powers Act. Last week, they only fell by 3 votes in the Senate to end this war. We can do it. We have more and more top Trump supporters like Laura Ingraham and Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck saying, okay, say you had some tactical victories here. Say you were there to just get the weapons and degrade the weapons and end the war now. And Trump's like, well, that'll make it look like I lost. No, what's going to lose is if you continue to have the strait closed and if you continue to run out of weapons and you continue to strengthen Iran, as we warned you months before this started, Trump, and as we warned you the day it started, and as I've warned every subsequent day, this is the big fly in the ointment that's derailing everything. And Israel has spent on the record in the last year $1.3 billion passed by their Knesset, it's not counting what billionaires gave, to pay for propaganda and to buy off talk show hosts and influencers. And they all sit there and play stupid when they get up on their shows every day on the networks and on X and on everywhere else, on YouTube, and they read talking points about how we're panicking and we're Iranian agents and we're Qatari agents and we're idiots and Joe Kent's a traitor and Tulsi Gabbard's an idiot and the Joint Chiefs of Staff were wrong to tell Trump that this wouldn't go well. We were simply being loyal Americans to the truth and justice proven right yet again. So go to Drudge Report. We also have the same stories linked up at AlexJonesLive.com, our main news site, the mothership, the coordinates to promote and share. And look at those headlines at Drudge. War expands in Middle East. Saudi Arabia, obviously 2 days ago, joined in the bombing. Pentagon scrambles for weapons. Trump exacerbated. And the reason Saudi Arabia and others are going to join in is the U.S. stockpiles are basically gone because of the Ukraine war and now this war. China is the big winner out of all this. This is a complete disaster. Now, obviously, we have a lot of domestic news to cover. We have a lot of economic news that ties into all of this. But front and center, this is killing the Republicans in the polls for the midterms. This is a total disaster. We have to put pressure on the administration to pull out of this damn thing now. The problem is the Iranians are being bullied.
This sword has tasted blood, and it will taste more.
Yurka! Attack! From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It is Thursday, July 30th, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones. Running Shotgun is my InfoWars veteran son, 13 years doing broadcasts with us, Rex Jones. And we have Joe Kent, former head of counterterrorism, 12-year combat vet, CIA, wife died in Syria, total expert, predicted everything coming up. We have also the number one combat journalist and former Green Beret and geopolitical expert who predicted all this with total precision, Michael Yawn, today. You may all know every angle of this as veteran listeners and activists and veterans and people that know more than I do, many of you. But remember, we don't wake people up through osmosis magically. You have to carry the ball down the field. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the ocean in which the truth swims. You are the sky in which the birds fly. You are everything. You have to share the live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X, at Real Alex Jones, and at AJN Live. You have to share the live feeds at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You have to share the feeds at alexjoneslive.com, our news site with all the feeds, the audio feeds, the video feeds, the Rumble feeds, the X feeds, our own feeds, the articles, the videos, the special reports, all the incredible guests and information you see here live within an hour or two of them being on, sometimes quicker. It's already cut up and it's on X, it's on Rumble, it's at alexjoneslive.com. Your ammunition in the information war to put downfield onto the enemy. Now, here's the deal. This has all been completely war-gamed. I know I've been mainly focusing on this war because it is going to kill the economy. It already has. It's already derailed the recovery. The globalists had us positioned for a global collapse. They were in total panic mode over Trump's recovery plan that was actually working. It got sabotaged at every level by Howard Lutnick that wrote the tariffs wrong. Even the Supreme Court said that they'd just written a few sections differently. It was all constitutional. Lutnick then bet against the very tariffs and made billions for his sons and himself. That's just one example. BlackRock is beside itself happy right now. They want everybody to go bankrupt, the general public. The globalists doubled their wealth during COVID. The planet's middle class and working class and working poor lost roughly half their wealth during COVID. That was a global reset assault of the Great Reset. They then said, now we're going to use war as the next leg of the Great Reset. This is a war against humanity. This will starve tens of millions to death. It already is, with the fertilizer being cut off out of Ukraine and out of the Middle East, which supplied about 40% globally. We're talking almost 30% on the Strait of Hormuz alone. The dominoes are now falling. We'll be getting into that coming up as well. And the numbers, oil surging way past $100 a barrel on what's happening. The United States is running out of munitions because of the multi-front war we're fighting in this new world war. Now, if you go to Grok or Gemini or ChatGPT and say, are we in a new world war? They'll say no. No one definitive, New York Times, CNN, are listed by the computers. They're told this is definitive. The same publications that tell you two men can have a baby, there's no X and Y chromosomes, are going to tell you we're not in a war and it's not a world war. They're also going to tell you we're winning the war and we're not. They're also going to tell you that they're not getting a national draft ready, even though they passed it last year and now have AI tests going on how to actually bring it in. Now, that's preparation for the draft. We have the neocon leadership saying they need a national draft and Democrats saying they support a national draft as well. That's the majority of them. So No, they are getting ready for that. Europe's bringing back to the draft. This is all happening. We don't wait till CNN tells us that the sky's blue to announce that the sky's blue. We don't wait for CNN to say Alex is wearing a dark gray shirt with a Space Force space shuttle on it. No, I am. And I can make that decision, and I can make that for myself. If I look out the window and see my neighbor's house on fire, I don't need to have a degree in firefighting to know that there's 20-foot flames shooting out the windows. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. I don't need to be a pathologist when I've seen a car flip two or three times and bodies fly out, and then I got out of the car and a person had their head half cut off with blood spraying out, and then I watched their eyes go dull and die. I wasn't a pathologist when I was 15, and I saw that. I knew they were dead. And then about 5 minutes later, the ambulance pulled up, and the person was dead. So that's where we are right now. We have to admit it. They want to sleepwalk us into that. That's the PSYOP. That's the brainwashing. All the former never-Trumpers are now his darlings. He loves them because they tell him what he wants to hear. Those of us that cared and were loyal to America and to Trump and what he originally pushed, we're the bad guys. Well, we're happy to be the bad guys because that's what we do. That's what leadership's about. Doing what you know is right, even when you're going to get demonized and attacked. So you're the Paul Revere's. Show the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X and at alexjoneslive.com, like your future depends on it. Because when you get excited and you take action and you share the links and you tell everybody else you share them to share them, that triggers the chain reaction. And that's what we're looking for the information you're about to hear in the next 3 hours and 45 minutes, roughly. Okay, so let's get into it right now. Let's put Drudge Report up front and center. Let's go through those three headlines right there at the top. Number one, they're almost out of weapons and the factories can't keep up. Pentagon scrambling for weapons. The war has expanded. Iran hit Egypt's main port to the Suez Canal last night. Oil exploded even more. Running out of weapons. Trump exacerbated. Let's read the Trump exacerbated article right now. This is a very important article, obviously, and it's the same thing reported by Axios. I can tell you, Trump was already advised of this by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Kane, before he launched the war about 157 days ago. He launched the war 152 days ago. Trump exacerbated as his top officials at odds over Iran war strategy. President Trump has grown increasingly exacerbated as the war in Iran stretches into its sixth month, with NBC News reporting exclusively. We can link through that to the actual report. On Wednesday, that the president recently erupted at top national security officials. We actually told you that has happened a bunch. Amid deep divisions inside his administration over how to proceed. How many months ago did I tell you he was blowing up? I told you last week he was blowing up because we have the sources. The report, citing a U.S. official and people familiar with the discussions, paints a picture of a divided White House. As one U.S. official put it, after all this time, there is no unity. Trump exploded during a meeting with top national security officials last week. What did I tell you last week? Pull it up. Don't make this up. You know, by the way, my source wasn't Joe Kent, but he's coming up. He has sources. We have those type of sources, even higher up than Joe Kent was. Leave it at that. Trump exploded during a meeting with top national security officials last week over a lack of progress in Iran, yelling expletives. According to NBC News, the report says administration officials remain divided over whether the priority should be stopping Iran's nuclear program, prohibiting shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, or degrading Tehran's missile and drone arsenal. Well, Trump said it was about getting their nukes, but it's really about regime change. And they've now admitted that. And we have the videos of Lindsey Graham, posthumously by the Wall Street Journal and others, for a documentary that was coming out about how they won the war, but they didn't, so they're releasing it now, where they plan to have regime change. So stop gaslighting us. The same official warned the administration has a series of tactical victories, but is, as your quotes, but is facing a strategic defeat without clear policy guidance or a decision about where this is going. Yes. It's not 3D chess to never be direct about what we're doing, like Churchill was at the beginning of World War II. We shall go on to the end, whatever the cost may be. No, Trump keeps saying, oh, it's about their weapons. Oh, it's about their ships at the bottom. Oh, it's about the nukes. Oh, it's about, but never about regime change. Another person closer to Trump told NBC News, the president has become increasingly discouraged by Iran's refusal to strike a deal. Oh, but we always hear they're begging for a deal. No. They know that if they make a deal, it always gets broken. They've said this. I'm not defending the mullahs. This is just what they're saying and what the facts are. Okay? Whenever you say what the facts are, the neocons and their surrogates that are paid say, oh, you're siding with them. No, if they point at the sky and it's blue and I say it's blue too, that's just reality. They don't hold the cards if they make a deal because it always gets broken. So if they go ahead and push all the way to the end, keep the strait closed, crash the world economy, including theirs, in a kamikaze operation, and then absolutely put pressure on Trump and attack all the other regional allies there, at a point, it's who can hang on the longest in a war of attrition. Remember these terms I explained, wars of attrition, tactical victories versus strategic victories. Strategic victories are a nice way of saying Pyrrhic victories. Let's pull up the definition of Pyrrhic victory. That goes back to ancient war in what is Greece and the Mediterranean now. And the king had a big war and ended up winning it, but in the end it destroyed his empire and it later fell apart. So it's where you win a bunch of battles, think you've won the war, but you end up failing. Pyrrhic victory is a win that comes at such a high cost that it feels like a defeat. Term means winning the battle but losing the war, bringing enormous loss and leaving the winner in a desperate state. Named after King Pyrrhus of Epirus, a Greek leader. In 279 BC, he beat the Roman army at the Battle of Asculum. He lost so many of his own soldiers and best officers that he started another such win would ruin him. And that's what we're talking about here. So when you hear them saying, sure, you've had strategic victories in the past, but this is not a strategic victory. You've had tactical victories. We're not having a strategic victory. It's called a Pyrrhic victory. And when they list, oh, we blew up their missiles. Oh, we degraded their nukes. Oh, we did this and that. That means let's get out of there. Let's declare victory and say we won. What have I been saying before the war started? I said, if they can trick us into this, once Trump wakes up, hopefully, we'll be there exposing him along with you. They will then hopefully, the good guys in there, be able to convince Trump to off-ramp this sucker. What have we been saying 1,000 times? We're looking for an off-ramp. So I'm not just repeating the same stuff here. I'm giving you the latest updates and saying, we're right. We're totally vindicated. You're right. You're vindicated. We got to beat this drum because 1/3 of the oil and more of the fertilizer is shut down now with these wars, and it's already causing mass disaster. The world was already on the verge of total collapse. Every major country was already maxed out on debt. The average individual maxed out on debt. We were at the Great Reset. The globalists said that. They had us where they want us. They had the central bank digital currencies, the global social credit score ready. They were ready to bring it all in. Trump was opposing it. Now he's deep-sixing his own economic recovery. 39 states, it was 25 just 6 months ago, have passed laws. And all you have a government contract or government job at the state level. You've ever criticized Israel? You have the head Israel propagandist saying you'll never have jobs. You criticize us in any way. We're tracking all the computers. We control Google. We control the algorithm. We control what the fact set is. We're putting in a digital tyranny over you. We're taking over the Pentagon and intelligence. We're taking control of your military production. We co-own it. NDAA Section 219 passed the House. We rule you. We're going to primary anybody who doesn't do what we want. This is ideal, perfect situation, having America fight our battles for us. Their finance minister 2 weeks ago. I mean, this is unbelievable. Everybody knows, I don't look for reasons to demonize Israel. Because China was the main threat previously. Israel controlled our foreign policy in the Middle East. I don't like the Islamists, but I didn't like their policies and ideas that stir them up. Don't defeat them. But I knew that they were sucking oxygen out of the room and were not the main focus. Maybe I was wrong, because now they are literally taking completely over, which I didn't think they could ever go to this level. But it is happening. And it's happening because BlackRock and the globalists above Israel want to have them do this. They get their wider Israel, greater Israel. The globalists get financial collapse. The president is exacerbated, the ally said. I don't think he believed it was going to be this difficult to get the Iranians to agree to a deal. There was not a real strategy for how long or what they would do to get to the endpoint. He did not intend this to be a long, drawn-out war. The ally added, it goes on. Now, let me explain something here that I explained back when he was first in office that he understood, I guess, and now he didn't get. And we said the main threat would be war and a new pandemic they'd try to hatch. And nobody nailed it like we did predicting all this other than Nick Fuentes. He was even ahead of us by about a year. 2 years before Trump got reelected, he said, he'll get reelected, this will be the issue. Iran. When you pull back from all of this and you understand that Trump thinks that everything is conditional, everything is transactional, everything is one-dimensional, where we give you this, you give us that. We don't ever stick to the deals we make. Trump was known for sticking to deals previously so he could get deals. Now he's known for flip-flopping or Israel being in control and blowing up peace processes wherever they want. So Iran has said, this is a war. This isn't a business deal. This is all the way to the end. This is all the way to the finish line. Same thing with Russia. Trump said he could end the Russia war in one day. But there are all these factions and factors in NATO and the unelected EU and Russia and hardliners. And so they're not giving up. In fact, they're winning. And so then what does NATO do? They double down, they accelerate, and that goes up the escalation ladder. That's why these things lead you to total war. That's why they said 3 years ago, we give Abrams tanks and F-16s to Ukraine. That will accelerate the escalation ladder and finally lead to nuclear war. When Biden said that, he was telling the truth. His advisors had told him, even though he had the brain of a potato, he understood that. And now where are we? Bombing all over Russia. We're running it. We're triangulating it. We're directing the weapons. We're building the weapons. 90% of them. And Russia's like, you're bombing us. You're blowing up Moscow every day. You're blowing up our oil refineries. You're bombing our apartment buildings. You're blowing up our shopping malls. You're blowing up girls' schools. You're blowing up buses full of soccer players, little girls. All of it is provocative to suck them into full war. This is the plan to suck us globally into a full world war, which we're already in, to accelerate it as the cover for the economic collapse of the globalists and to bring in on its ashes their corporate, private, panopticonic, mark of the beast, cashless society, surveillance state grid. This is the admitted plan. They admit it's the admitted plan. We're at an adult level looking at the geopolitical systems, who the players are, reporting on hard, cold facts. That's why everything we say keeps coming true exactly as we said. We go, here's the options in the directions from bad to worse. I say it'll probably be here, not total nuclear war yet, but, you know, worse than the best worst options. We're trending 60-70% to the worst. And then I'm just like, now it'll trend here. Soon the other Arabs will join. You know, soon Trump will talk about ground invasion and start getting the draft ready. You know, soon he'll start panicking more. And the question is, will he double down more? Will he get sanity? But then the other big wild card comes in. Bigger than this isn't business. This is war. Okay? You can say, well, war is a business. At one level it is, but not when it's major strategic powers against each other. It's about total power. It's about brinksmanship. It's about attrition. George Washington lost almost every battle but won the war. Okay? So that's what I would say about Iran. I'm not comparing him to George Washington in their ideals, but in the situation. Greatest empire in the world, never beaten. The British Empire. How we beat them in 6 years, attrition. Just absolutely willing to never give up, never stop. And having a superior ideology. So we have all of those pieces, and then we have the big piece. And I've been saying this since this started. I said the Iranians hold the cards, they'll close the strait, they won't fall. And then so I said we can pull up the first show on March 1st. We got to re-air that. In fact, this weekend I'm going to do a special live Saturday show. Then we're going to re-air the whole three-hour show right after I do it, like an hour or two Saturday. We'll go live at noon Saturday. I'll do an hour, 2 hours on the latest developments, other news, and then we'll play the March 1st show in its entirety. And I said the final piece will be the Iranians will know that if they make deals, they always get broken. They'll go all in, try to force our troops out, try to force a new regional security agreement, which sounds like something Trump would never do, but when it's the only option Trump has because he's had a strategic defeat, I use the term strategic defeat, Pyrrhic victory. Just blowing up stuff is a Pyrrhic victory. When people have attrition and a war of attrition and they're the victor. That's ultimate war is siege. Ultimate war is marathon upon marathon. Okay. This is what real war is. You are not defeated, as the Romans said, until you believe you are defeated. An enemy is not defeated until they believe they're defeated, as Harrison loved to say, which is a real Roman quote. So the Iranians are being belligerent. I think they're pushing a little too hard, but that's the recklessness. That's actually the total commit, which you have to respect. And so they're saying, we're never giving up till we get $300 billion. It was $500 billion, so they are backing down some. And until all your troops are gone. And they're like, we're not going to do that. Okay, we'll just bomb all your bases till they have to leave anyways, which has basically happened. So they're really playing with fire because the globalists in Israel will set off a new 9/11. They've been talking about it. They've been priming it. They've been preparing it. They've been warning. Oh, you better do what we say or there'll be a new 9/11. Very thinly veiled. And I'm telling you, the people running the U.S. and the Israel lobby and not just Israel lobby, but the neocons and the war hawks, they will stage new 9/11, much bigger to blame Iran. And Iran, you will get nuked. And if you think the U.S. would drop bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, okay, even though the Japanese had already unconditionally surrendered. Oh, yeah, they already surrendered 5 days before. That was just to demonstrate the atomic bomb to the Russians. That's all declassified. If you think that the globalists won't stage massive false flags, and if you don't think they won't nuke every major city you've got and nuke Kirk Island, take about 20 nukes, big ones, to take out the whole area, collapse all those honeycomb nests you've got, let me tell you, they got the nuclear weapons loaded, buddy boy. You don't think they won't kill Trump and say Iran did it and Israel get their enemy out of the way and turn him into a martyr? Oh, yeah. It's a probability. Israel or the deep state working with Israel is going to kill Trump very soon. You heard it here first. I just know the cards, folks. I know the globalists. They're either going to kill Trump, blame Iran, or they're going to set a nuke off in New York, or they don't want to damage Israel too much. They'll say in the Mediterranean, somehow Iran with a shipping container. They've already been priming that in the news. They launched drones for shipping container ships. And then it'll get within, you know, a quarter mile of Tel Aviv and detonate and send in, you know, a 100-foot wave will damage a bunch of stuff, blow a bunch of windows out, cause a bunch of fires. They'll test the radioactive isotopes. It'll be the same uranium the Iranians have that has fingerprints on it, isotopic fingerprints. And then within a day, Israel nukes Iran. So Trump's assassinated. It's blamed on Iran. He's already primed the pump for that. They've walked into it, too. Trump said, if I die, blame Iran, blow them all up. So he's put his head in the noose. And or nukes. And they could do both at the same time. So when I say that, I mean that. When I say that, I'm not saying that to hide things. You know I don't hide stuff. I tell you what I break my brain focusing on. I mean, I went to bed last night. I haven't slept 10 hours in probably 6 months. I've been so freaked out. I slept for 10 hours last night. And the whole time I was dreaming about this and literally like in a boardroom situation room. And I even knew it was a dream, but I couldn't wake up and get out of it. And I was like, you need to sleep. You need to stop. And I was just in there wargaming all this and just it went on and on and on. And I was like in this war room arguing with myself. And I mean, because that's how much my brain is focused, hyper focused on this. So you heard it here first. They're going to assassinate Trump. They're looking to do it. Hope it doesn't happen. And by exposing it, they lose that card. That's why they hate me getting ahead of their narratives. Assassinate Trump to go to full war with Iran, nuclear war, or set off a nuke to do it. That's the only card they've got left, ladies and gentlemen. And the false flags are cooked up. They're ready. The pump's been primed. It's all coming up. Stay with us. We're going to look at the economic disaster coming out of this, the weapons running out, and more straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones. Please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. The big super sale, 50% off on Methylene Red, Ultimate Power, and others is about to end. Thealexjonesstore.com.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone, raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks, and ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow, incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the ultimate power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
I've explained this to people a lot. We don't say all these sensational things to be sensational. Truth is stranger than fiction. The universe is sensational upon sensational. The Times of Israel and other publications are reporting that over 100 troops deserted at a military base in Israel because the commander was conducting satanic Moloch devil worship rituals. There's Haaretz. It's 100 now. Dozens of IDF soldiers desert base after commander takes down banners, disciplinary action, and they were reportedly doing satanic rituals that they were protesting. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, that is coming up. This is what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we're going to get into the economic crises that we predicted 6 months before the war, that the big threat would be Iran and the strait being closed and all of that, then Michael Yon's coming up, then Joe Kent. We've got a bunch of other news we're going to intersperse here. Huge Fauci hearings, unbelievable excerpts we haven't gotten to. So much on the AI bubble about to pop. We're going to get into that in a moment as well. We are on the cusp of global collapse by design. Exposing it can put enough pressure on Trump. We're very close. A lot of his advisors and a lot of the public talk show hosts, the biggest ones, are telling him get out of the war now because they understand what's happening. So we've got a good chance at this.
if we raise the alarm, that's what you need to do, sharing these live feeds. And once we archive big clips of this show to X at Real Alex Jones and at alexjoneslive.com, you're the Paul Revere's. I keep going back to that because you are critical. You are everything. When you, when you take action, you, I'm talking to you. I'm looking for you. I need you. You need me. Let's do it together. Before we go any further, we are listener supported. I only sell you stuff that absolutely works so that you love it and so you love what we do and so you stay with us. We want a relationship with you. Everything we sell at thealexjonesstore.com works. The supplements are incredible. The methylene red is proprietary. The methylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss. Not sexy names, sexy action. Incredible. If you ever take this stuff, you will be hooked on it. We have the best. The turmeric's the best, the strongest, the liquid turmeric now. TheAlexShowStore.com. We have 50% off on many of the best-selling items right now. Our 10-hour clean energy is even better than Turbo Force. That is ultimate power, 50% off. Methylene red capsules, 50% off right now. That sale ends in a few days at TheAlexShowStore.com. If you've never gotten the products, you're insane. 92% reorder on things like methylene blue. Nobody has that. That's how good this stuff works. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. The apparel, massively discounted, and that's what funds this operation. Separately, the folks at Bigly, using the same backbone and same folks as the wellness company, uses their great sponsor. They've set up an online telemedicine system. Next week, they launch the full suite of all the prescriptions. You just go and talk to a nurse or doctor if you want. It's super low prices. But I wanted them to focus on one product first, prescription, so it's the highest grade, it's quality. There's a lot of adulterated and fake stuff out there. That is a combo pill prescription, very easy to get, because anybody can do this for detox and to make sure you get rid of any parasites. Ivermectin and mabenzidol. Now, everybody knows about ivermectin, won a Nobel Prize for anti-parasitics decades ago. And it's great. It goes great with mabenzidol. But mabenzidol is the king daddy. And this is super strong, super high quality at a very low price compared to what other people sell the real stuff for. You can get it right now at 1776rx.health. Everybody should do this a couple times a year. It's what my physician has told me. Consult your own physician. Make your own medical decisions. I'm telling you personally what I've done. And I'm begging you to research and just type into a search engine mabenzidol studies and see what else it's associated with and what it's been proven to do in almost every case, not just parasites. Look into mabenzidol, M-E-B-E-N-D-A-Z-O-L-E. Also type in studies of ivermectin with mabenzidol together. Do your own research and then make a decision on whether or not you want to go to 1776rx.health and do a detox on this for parasites and beyond. 1776rx.health, and it funds the operation, a true 360 win. 1776rx.health. 1776rx. .health. Write that down. Take action now. 1776rx.health. The coordinates of health and liberty and freedom. The bad guys are bombarding us. We all need to take care of ourselves. God helps those that help themselves. 1776rx.health and the big sale about to end. TheAlexJonesStore.com up to 50% off right now. All right. I wanted to bring Dr. Kirk Elliott in. He is a renowned businessman and economist. He has the largest and most successful gold and silver brokerage company, 26 years in the United States. An overnight success story. I'm joking. Has the highest ratings. And he is a sponsor. That's a side issue. He's not really even here for that. KBM.com/gold, where he sells it at wholesale every day. So you know what it is. It's very simple how to get a good deal on gold and silver. Just get it wholesale. 1776 is about being financially independent. This is the best move out there. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900 to call and get a free consultation. They want to talk to you first. Very low pressure. In fact, too low pressure, I would say. 720-605-3900. They can also roll over financial instruments and more. That's a smart move. KEPM.com/gold. Now, I wanted to bring him in because he's been a sponsor now for almost 2.5 years. Even before Trump got in, he said, I'm really worried what could wreck the recovery in his plan. It was starting to work even before he got in. He said it would work. It was, would be an Iran war, the closure of the strait. So to get into that, to get into the dot-com bubble, that most experts agree is about to pop, what will that mean? And to now, we're now 6 months into this war. Trump is exacerbated, looking for an exit ramp. What would that exit ramp be? Because the mullahs are being belligerent because they hold the cards. Is Dr. Kirk Elliott, who predicted all of this. Dr. Elliott, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Alex.
Well, where to start? I mean, absolute vindication, but it's sickening. I wish we were wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before February when the conflict started, right? And it's like this wasn't going to be a quick 3-day, 5-day incursion, right? We thought it was going to last a while because you're dealing with ideological differences religiously, politically. I mean, it's just not, an army is not going to take care of that usually, right? Look at Afghanistan, right? It just goes on for a long time. Now, this has been drawn out and we've had, it's going to end. It's not going to end. It's going to end. It's not going to end. During that time, oil goes up. Now, the price of oil to me, is indicative of, I think, where the world is headed in 2027. Kevin Warsh made comments yesterday or the day before. Time is flying, right? When the FOMC said they were going to hold rates steady, right? So that tells me that they don't really know what to do right now because everything's so up and down, right? But I want to go over some of the implications of this, right? Because oil today is in the mid 80s, right? The longer the strait is shut down or even at 50% capacity, the price of oil is going to continue to go up. Now here's the problem. We as Americans feel it, right? The economy is not good, which we'll get into, but most of the world is living hand to mouth, right? There's barely scraping by. Most of the world is living in poverty, right? So when oil jumps up to 100, it becomes very problematic for most people in the world. If oil hits 120, which is what Goldman Sachs thinks it could go to if this doesn't end, you're talking about a major global recession, a stagflationary recession, the economy slowing down, but prices going up. That's bad. If we hit 140, 150, I think it's lights out. At that point, you really start to get geopolitical consequences because when you are impacting the way that most of the people in the world even have a choice of eating or not eating, it usually ends up in war, right? So I think the price of oil here and the ending of this conflict is very important to the economy. Not even talking about the political ramifications of all this. I'm just talking about the economic fallout of what's happening here. So from on a domestic standpoint, Kevin Warsh, he gives his speech, right? And what did he say 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, he said, inflation is going to be a thing of the past. Okay. And what does that mean? I mean, he basically says the old FOMC committee members, that's the old guard. The new guard is going to really change things and inflation is going to be a thing of the past. It's like, wait a second. This counteracts everything I just said, which I think inflation is going to be an issue moving forward, not just with oil, but with food and everything else because of fertilizer and things that you and I have talked about. So when he says it's going to be a thing of the past, what are the tools that the Fed uses to combat inflation? The easiest one is you raise interest rates to slow down inflation. The other not so easy one is you stop printing money and you start pulling money out of circulation. That's not really a choice for them, or else
that's going to cause a depression. That's going to cause stagflation to accelerate. So let me ask you this, and I want you to continue. I'm not the economist like you, but I read it all. General interest rates are all going up on cars, on houses, on money lending. But then they say, oh, we've frozen it. We may have to increase it. The new head of the Federal Reserve, the Trump, moved heaven and earth to get in. But now he can't cut rates because of what Trump's done and what Israel lured us into. So that's a fact. But when we look in general, that I see interest rates going up in general, how is that happening when the main rate has been frozen? Generally, it doesn't do that, at least unless I'm wrong, the way it is. So just like we're told oil was really $80 a barrel when it was really 100, translated in the last month into gas prices. So we see a number with AI manipulation, 70 plus percent of trading, I think Tucker Carlson was right about that. I think I know he was. So we're told oil's this, but it's really that at the pump. And we're told interest rates are flat or frozen, but they're not. Is that an accurate statement?
It's an accurate statement. That is a really good, amazingly perceptive question, right? Because when Warsh is talking about interest rates, what interest rate is he talking about? It's the federal funds rate, which is the rate that banks lend to other banks for. That's when he says we're going to raise or lower interest rates. That's the only one that they're talking about. Today, that's at 3.63%. So he said we're not going to raise it a quarter, lower it a quarter, right? And the target range for the Fed is 3.5 to 3.75 right now. So they're right in that ballpark. Now, to me, this is my perception as an economist, even though it's important because every other rate, interest rate that we talk about is tied to what banks are getting money for, right? So that's the first level. When a bank needs money from the Fed, they're being charged 3.63% on that borrowing. If Bank of America needs money from JP Morgan Chase, they're getting it at the federal funds rate, 3.63% right now. So then there's a second interest rate, which is the prime rate. The prime rate is about 3% higher than the federal funds rate. So it's about 6.75%. So what is that? That's where the big banks lend to their best customers at, the prime rate. So we're not talking about you and me being their best customers. We're talking about JP Morgan Chase lending to Nvidia, for example, right? So 6.75% is the prime rate. Now, the prime rate is the basis for credit cards, right? So credit cards, the average, this is why this is such a problem and why America is going into we are in stagflation right now. So credit cards, even if you have A+ credit, even if you have an 800 credit score and you're amazing at paying off your debt, right? And doing it on time, credit cards right now, the average is 23.79%.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's if you have good credit. So what are the banks making on that? Right. So they're borrowing at 3.63. They're charging 23%. They're making the difference. Right. But so it's like, well, they're just profit hungry monsters. Right. That's not necessarily the case. They charge that because at this point, they're lending their own money. Right. So what comes into the equation here? And this is an important piece of the economy, which I think these other interest rates are actually more important than the federal funds rate. So when you get a credit card from Bank of America, Bank of America is looking at, okay, what is our cost of capital? It's 3.63%. We're going to charge the client 23%. Why? Because in a bad economy, the credit card payments are the last things that people pay. They're going to pay off their house first. They're going to pay off their auto payments next because they don't want to be foreclosed on. They don't want it to be taken away. So there's late payments and there's complete defaults and there's bankruptcies. And so the banks are using their actuarial tables and saying, what do we need to charge to actually A, make money and make a handsome profit from it, by the way, but B, how do we make sure that the reward that we're getting is worth the risk of giving people money that might not, maybe shouldn't have it? Like me, case in point.
Yeah. So bottom line, they're using the crisis to squeeze everybody, which you see before a collapse. So because we have limited time, I want you to get to the meat and potatoes here. You set the table excellently. What does this mean? What are we set up for? What are you predicting is going to happen next? What should Trump do versus what he's doing? What is the exit ramp? What do you see for the economy? And then also, what do you see for silver and gold?
Yeah, so where I see the economy headed is rising interest rates next year, probably 3 or 4 of them. Right. This is going to put even a bigger pinch on the domestic economy. This is why this conflict needs to end some way, somehow. I don't know how, right? Because we keep hearing conflicting stories all the time, but it needs to end or we get inflationary pressures and cause interest rates to go up. You think credit card payments are bad now? Just wait. You think mortgages? Banks don't want to lend out money on a 30-year mortgage and they don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why mortgage rates are over 7% right now, as high as they've been since 2003, right? I mean, this is not good. So Kevin Warsh is saying we're going to fight inflation. The number one tool that they use is to raise interest rates. That's why I think his interest rates are going to go up. Now, banks, where do I think the global economy is headed? Stagflation. Look at what numbers just came out for this quarter. Economic growth, 1.5%. Inflation, 3.3%. Prices are going up faster than the economy is growing. We are in stagflation now. So technically, you need to lower interest rates to stimulate this thing. But the global economy is telling us we can't do it because we've got this war and we've got this conflict, and the prices of everything are going to remain high. So what are the big banks doing? What are the central banks around the world doing? They're allocating into gold. I mean, we've talked about this numerous times, but in the first quarter of this year, something is changing right underneath our nose. Number one, first quarter of this year, the outflows of gold, the central banks slowed down their purchases. Second quarter, increased it dramatically. They're buying gold hand over fist. So the World Gold Council just came out with their numbers. I'm sorry, Bank of Montreal just came out with their numbers. China has over 30,000 tons of gold. How much does America, the Fed, have? 8,500 tons. 30,000 tons of gold is what China has amongst official government ownership, banks, investment companies, 30,000 tons. So why are they doing this? Right. So this goes back to something that you and I warned people about on the first or second show that we ever did together. Literally, I looked back at it. And this is Project Enbridge, a joint, you know, digital payment rails between the Bank for International Settlements and the BRICS nations to actually settle digitally, gearing up for central bank digital currency settlement between countries in something other than the U.S. dollar. This is what Project Enbridge is about. So it's not
just... Let me stop you. That's why BlackRock is so happy about this war and have said they are. This is the reset they need. This could kill the dollar. It's already happening. That's why this is such an even bigger disaster, because all we have left, folks, is the dollar and our military. Trump's trying to get the jobs back. It hasn't happened quick enough. We've been explaining the globalist plan that they get the world into total debt under their central bank digital currency control, literally mark of the beast. That's where we are with this war, not just losing the midterms, not just the death and destruction, but positioning us for collapse and the globalists dictating the terms of our surrender. This is a big historic shift at the end of this turning into a new system where we could have a new renaissance. Instead, they're going to jump the train from one tracks onto the accelerated tyranny track.
Yeah, this is so big. This is a mega story, Alex, because Project Enbridge, it's not just are we going to choose between the U.S. dollar and the yen or the U.S. dollar and the euro. No, this allows for digital payments in anything other than the U.S. dollar. You could make settlements, you know, tokenized oil, tokenized gold, tokenized silver. You can settle in anything other than the U.S. dollar. This is why this is so important, right? So a Project Enbridge used for evil under central bank digital currency could be used for good in the sense of decentralized finance, the blockchain, you know, things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, XRP, whatever. They use the same type of technology, right? So this is where the world is headed. Now, when you look at why this is so important, China having 30,000 tons of gold, Project Enbridge being ready for deployment, what do you think they want to settle in? They're saying we want gold as collateral, not the U.S. dollar. So the fact that they're ramping up their purchases, this digital money is happening right underneath our nose. They're amassing massive amounts of gold. Allocate into this trend, which is a paradigm shifting moment for the world.
100%. I mean, let's explain this. I know the listeners are smart. For those that are leftists maybe and just tuned in and let's just say aren't sophisticated on this. This isn't even sophisticated. This is no brainer. The universities, the billionaires, even Warren Buffett, the big central banks, they're all predicting by next year massively increase, you know, gold up 30-40%, silver, all of it. You already saw the trends, you know, 6 months ago. They've been artificially suppressing it. Well, they hoard it right now. They've all said and made their bet, and they're talking about the central bank digital currencies being back with a basket of oil and of gold and silver and other key commodities. This is the new plan, and segueing off the dollar.
And if we do lose the dollar, my God, you talk about Katie bar the door. But regardless, we're trying to stop that, though. Trump's put in policies that are accelerating that. Individuals have to protect themselves. And the no-brainer, silver and gold, you've got the highest ratings. People need to call you. They need to email you. They need to get a free consultation. Pitch gold, pitch silver, people, right now. There's so much confusion out there. There's no need for it. Kirk has the highest ratings. Look it up for yourself. He's the biggest company because he's the best. You can only do this at huge scale, the deals he does. And he's a great sponsor, and it's very simple. He sells at wholesale. You can check the price every day. You know what that is. This is so easy. It's demystified. Dr. Elliott, you can also roll over financial interest. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you can roll over 401ks, 403bs, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, traditional, Roth, simple, SEP, inherited, you can actually put it into physical gold and silver. Don't buy coins. Don't buy collectibles. Don't buy commemoratives. Why? Because it's not an easy exit. It could be no liquidity on the flip side when you want to sell, because the dealer has to make a market for it. They have to call client B and say, hey, we've got some stuff for you. Do you want to buy it? When you're buying bullion, what do you think the Samsungs and the Sonys and the Nvidias of the world are buying? They're not buying coins and melting them down. They're buying 1,000-ounce bullion bars. They're buying bullion. This is why this is what we sell, because there's always a market for it. And it's easy when you're owning the commodity that the rest of the world needs in the form that it needs to be in. And that's why we do it that way. Now, I'm not talking about paper versions of it. It's not a certificate. It's not some kind of a proxy for the real thing. It is the real thing. Buy bullion gold, buy bullion silver. Really, in a world of all of the options of metals, those are the only things that you should do. When you purchase from us, it's 8%. When you liquidate, it's 0%. So all of the proceeds go to you. We don't need it.
And Kirk, it's important to add, sometimes you can get coins at wholesale bullion prices, but in general, it's going to be the bars, and that's what's going on. So as long as you're getting wholesale, folks, you know you're getting a great deal. KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. One of the smartest moves you can make, 720-605-3900. What is JP Morgan? What is Bank of America? A few months ago, they predicted. Where do they predict gold is by next year?
Close to $4,900 an ounce. And Bank of America said silver, $309. Let's say they're 50% wrong. That's still $150. Right. So we're on a trajectory moving up because of the global financial pressures that we're seeing. Even if they're
people got to get on this train now, there's no perfect safe bet, but this is the safest one out there. It's already proven that. KPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Dr. Elliott, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
All right. We're to come back with hour number two. Joe Kent coming up, former head of counterterrorism, Michael Yon, and more. We're covering the waterfront. Stay with us at Cheryl's Live.
A massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind Fueled Nootropic Energy Shots. All 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rattled scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776. In muscle shirts, a whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer-like underwear. It's, you know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in. You get a free mystery T-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Thursday, July 30th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Riding shotgun is my veteran son, 13 years in the InfoWar, Rex Jones. The incredible Michael Yon, geopolitical expert, military expert, joins us. Then Joe Kent, former head of National Counterterrorism Center, on the incredible developments. We have Israel and a huge walkout at a military base over Satan worship that reportedly the leadership was engaged in. They even have proof. Those video clips and the walkout are coming up. Next segment and more. But Rex, you've been sitting there very patiently while myself and Kirk Elliott talked about the situation. Trump's got to get an off ramp soon. The problem is Iran knows that if they make a deal, we won't stick by it. So they're going all the way here in a war of attrition. And we are now having a strategic defeat, meaning a Pyrrhic victory. Rex, we called it by the book, 100% dead on. And I just can't believe that the neocons were able to convince Trump to do this.
Right. I mean, our network is known for futurist predictions. And I called it. You called it at 2 a.m. in the morning when this was all happening. This is a war of choice. And this is why we're fated to lose. This is why the Iranians are fated to win. Right. Because winning to them looks a lot different than it does to us. For us to win, we would have to take over the country, do the regime change, break it up into three pieces, install the Shah or whatever Israeli leadership needed to go down there for them to be happy. That is essentially like trying to get to the moon on like $1,000 budget. You know, we're going to build a space program, make it work. There's just not enough logistics and troops in the world for us to get that done. Whereas all the Iranians have to do is keep the strait closed. And not even just that now with the Houthis, the Yemeni people joining in, closing the Bab el-Mandeb with the Iraqi resistance joining in, that axis of resistance is really starting to take shape and form because they realize their threshold for pain is a lot more extreme than ours is. And that's kind of the nature of all of this. And to people on, I'll just say like our side, whatever you want to say, populist right, people that are still having an issue where they're unable to break with Trump, they're unable to stop believing what he's saying. We've literally watched him say the same thing 100 times. They have no air defense. They have no military. It's obliterated. We've defeated them. Okay, so why are the troops
massive? No missiles. They have no missiles.
Exactly. Oh, well, why do we lose 43 aircraft? And then they'll just kind of gloss that over. They don't really care. People still don't consider this to be a war, Dad. I think that's the most outrageous thing.
Almost all of the billion-dollar radar, which they have to have for missile defense, old-fashioned radar spins, folks. They have total beam radar that costs over $1 billion per unit. We had two of them over there. They're all blown up. They had a bunch of other subgroups that are almost
I believe they've blown up over 10. I believe the average cost is between $300 to $600 million. All right. This is what makes the Patriot and the Thad at least somewhat semi-effective if they are operational. However, our munitions that cost between $4 million if it's the Patriot and $12 million if it's the Thad are complete doo-doo rockets if they do not have the radars to make them function. And that's the reality. And that's just a fact.
Let's be clear. There's only six of this radar that cost over $1 billion. They blew those up.
Sure, right. Sure. I'm talking about multiple classes.
The other advanced radar. Yeah,
absolutely.
But overall, more than 40 of our radars have been blown up. We're basically blind. That's why the ships won't go into the strait. Trump keeps trying to order them in the Situation Room. We first broke this. It's now confirmed to go into the strait. They explain they can because they've got the Chinese anti-ship missiles
right. That
will defeat. Are a different system. So yeah, this is a disaster. And you know, Lindsey Graham said, "I believe in our Marines." I think 2,000.
If we could do Iwo Jima, we could do this, which is just a sick statement to make. It's really disgusting to throw away American sons and daughters like that. The lives they don't care. It's like scraps on the plate.
But you hit the key there. we would need hundreds of thousands of troops just to take straight. Israel said this is ideal. They want the quagmire. They lied to Trump. But instead, because they lie to him and tell him he's great, he loves them, and he hates the people that were right. Good, we don't care, because we're loyal Americans. Rex, stay right there, my friend. You're on fire. And we will continue on back in 60 seconds with Michael Young joining us. We're going to get into the folks walking off the military base, the devil worship.
New grape flavor, bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these grape gummies. Get yours now. The all-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby. The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, first they reported dozens. Now it's 100. Now it's hundreds of Israeli soldiers from a military base in Israel. S-D-E-T-E-I-M-A-N. I think that's Sid Teeman. Have walked off the base over the commanders putting up signs depicting Israel as Satan defeating its neighbors and reportedly doing satanic rituals. The IDF says the troops deserted the base, leaving behind their weapons without the approval of their superiors after the battalion commander decided to take down and destroy signs that had been put up by the soldiers. They are saying that basically the commanders were involved in satanic activities. The decorative signs had contained materials that supposedly humiliated soldiers in the unit, according to the Army. Soldiers claim the signs were part of our company tradition. The incident is being investigated and handled by the commanders. This is an incident that is inconsistent with the values of the IDF, with what is expected of our soldiers. The military said infantry soldiers in the IDF have a history of mass desertion over alleged unfair treatment in the military. So just more bizarre behavior. We're going to be getting into all this with Michael Young and more. But first, let's play some a newscast about it, then raw footage of over 100 of them deserting, marching off the base. Here it is. Again, for radio listeners, we're showing shots of the protest and some of these signs. And reading deeper in the articles, they said that the leadership was engaged in satanic rituals. A lot of bizarreness over there. Again, you had Canaanite cults, you had Moloch, you had Baal, that stuff all continues on. It's in the later books after the original Bible was written, the Old Testament. There's dozens of other books, but 30 plus they think are basically inspired by God. And a bunch of those get into black magic. When you get into the Jewish mysticism in the Kabbalah, when you get to the final level, you embrace the devil and merge with the devil and then become a greater creature because you have embraced the darkness. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. But again, that all came out of the Egyptian black magic. It's similar to the European black magic that basically came out of Solomon itself. The Star of David is not the Star of David. And it's not the Star of Rin family. Everybody says that's another star. It is the Seal of Solomon. And the anti-Israel people always go, you're a liar. It's Rin fam. No, it's worse. The Seal of Solomon is the seal. And then this is in the Book of Solomon. It's one of the official Jewish holy books. You can read it online. It's free. Okay. Written thousands of years ago. And it explains how he had hundreds and hundreds of wives. He adopted all their religions. He was the wisest man alive. They weren't sure if he was accepted by God at the end, like King David, who was a man after God's own heart. And he was given the seal when he was involved in black magic, basically by the devil as a way to control demons. And so the two triangles, one down, one up, that symbol is the Seal of Solomon, or Solomon's key. Okay, so that is the symbol that is a top signet in black magic and in the occult. There are several other symbols that are seen as almost as powerful. One is the V. That's why Aleister Crowley, officially for OSS, did rituals and created the V to counter the swastika. The sun symbol, or the swastika turning clockwise, is also seen in the occult as a symbol almost as powerful, or as powerful, maybe more powerful, than the Seal of Solomon. And anybody that actually studies mainline, serious black magic, and I have read the official black magic books, the Grand Grimoires, all of it, you need to understand that is the Seal of Solomon. And then you have the V that Crowley basically resurrected, and that he said was super powerful to counter the swastika. So this is all magic. This is all occultism. This is very serious. This is what goes on in Hollywood and everywhere else. This is what goes on with Jeffrey Epstein. This is what goes on with the British elites. And whether it's Chinese black magic, which you can go to any mall in China and they'll do curses for you and the rest of it. You can go pay for curses in Japan. You can pay for curses in Africa. You can walk in any bazaar or mall in Kenya or in Nigeria. You walk into any place you want in the world, other than Muslim countries, one of their credits, though they kind of hide it in the back room. You can walk right in and they'll do rituals and all this stuff and tell you they're cursing people and all the rest of it. You can go to Haiti and do it. Every culture does this. I'm not just singling out the Jews. I'm a fair person, but let's just say they're particularly into it, a lot of them. And that is just the reality. So there we are. We'll bring Michael Yawn in, who is a world traveler, actually lives in Japan and in Dripping Springs, Texas, part of the year. And he is a former Green Beret A-team operator. And he, of course, is leading combat journalist and photographer. Some of the most incredible photos ever embedded for decades. Saw a lot more combat being embedded with our military around the world than he ever saw when he was a Green Beret in Europe. And then, of course, he's a geopolitical expert and predicted everything that's now unfolding and happening. I want to not so much get into the strategic areas. We've kind of broken that down. But Trump being exacerbated, wanting an exit ramp. Iran saying, we don't trust you to make a deal. We're going to keep the straight close. We're going to win by attrition. They're now telling, the Pentagon's telling Trump, as they did before the war started, that you're having a strategic defeat. You may be having tactical victories, but those are battles. You're not winning the war. So he's learning what the British learned fighting George Washington, not comparing the Iranians to George Washington in their beliefs, but in their tactical activities of perseverance. This is a basic understanding of war. You don't just have siege of a city. You have a guerrilla force that is able to hold on and sap the resources of a larger foe. And in the end, you always win. As the Romans said, our enemies are not defeated until they recognize themselves as such. We were never defeated because we will never recognize ourselves as defeated. There's another way of saying it. Resistance is victory. So let's talk big picture. No off ramps here. Where this is going with the great Michael Yawn. Michael, thank you for being here with us today.
Hey, Alex. Well, the last time I saw you, I was in your studio, so now I'm over here. So, man, what an epic way to start the day with Israeli forces going AWOL. I didn't expect that. And from devil worshippers of all things. No off-ramps is right, because that's not what this is meant to be. This is the big target with this, as you well know, is the United States. United States is being expended in this war. And you saw, by the way, I think you talked about it earlier, about the Saudis bombed Iraq.
Yes.
They
No, please elaborate with your geopolitical expertise. Go wherever you want. Give us an assessment, please, sir.
Oh, good. I spent a couple of years running around Iraq, so I'm pretty familiar with those areas. And you see the pilgrims to Karbala being bombed allegedly by Saudi Arabia, which of course would widen this with the Shia majority around those areas. A huge amount of people are Shia, right? And, so the Wahhabists who would have, this is quite fascinating. You know, I've published numerous times that I would expect at some point, or let's say a high probability that Mecca and Medina would be, let's say attacked. And Mecca and Medina, of course, are in Saudi Arabia. There's huge, pilgrimages to those every year, the Hajj and that sort of thing. But, you know, what you mentioned earlier, Alex, about, you know, basically getting everybody into a big fight. That's part of the plan. I think all these countries in the Middle East, or let's say not in the Middle East, but in the Gulf states, not including Iran, but the Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, Oman, and Saudi Arabia, actually, UAE. I think that those will likely not exist when this is over. Likely. I think that because I think that that appears to be part of the plan. Of course, with the greater Israel, that would include taking out Jordan. That would include taking out Lebanon, which is being done right now. Gaza, of course, much of Syria, most of Syria, a big, huge part of Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and UAE, Qatar, and Bahrain. Now, back to Iraq. I would not be surprised. I think I mentioned this to you, to see Mosul Dam at some point be destroyed. Mosul Dam, you know, if Israel wants to take, basically, Israel's going supernova at this point. They're clearly collapsing. The country's not doing well. It's sick. The Israelis are spreading around the world. They're going to Argentina and Guatemala and Panama and Thailand and Philippines, the United States, of course. They're going to Greece. They're going all over the world. They're abandoning ship. And now we just saw, I just learned about this when I was just watching you talk about how these Israeli soldiers just abandoned their post, actually, which is pretty interesting in a time of war. But I think what we're going to see is countries such as the Iranians apparently have been attacking the desalinization plants in Kuwait, which actually in the desalinization plants in Kuwait, when you attack those, you're also attacking their electrical grid because they're co-sanguinated. But by the way,
Michael, you're skipping around giving them all the facts, which is incredible. You predicted all this months ago and weeks ago that it would pop off in Iraq next. Now that's happened. And that's why the Saudis are getting involved. Israel's ministers have said we can blow up the Al-Aqsa Mosque and blame it on an Iranian missile to trigger a Shiite Sunni civil war. They could also hit Mecca or Medina and trigger that. Israel's also said they want a new 9/11. They didn't say they'll stage it, very thinly veiled. They've also said that Iran wants to kill Trump. They could easily kill Trump and then use that to nuke Iran. I'm really concerned they're going to assassinate Trump, a deep state coalition with Israel, to launch a full war or do a false flag nuke in New York or off Tel Aviv. Say on a barge or something, they've already pre-programmed that, to go to full nuclear war, cause a civil war in the region. Once it all collapses, then Israel can move in, put in new governments. Their finance minister said last week, this is the ideal situation, having chaos in the U.S. in the middle of it. They don't even hide this. So give us a 35,000-foot view first. It's like a Green Beret. You're walking through all the pieces and where this spiraling is going. And is there any off-ramp? Because Trump more and more, not to his credit, I'm just saying, is signaling he wants an off-ramp from my sources inside the White House. And now that's confirmed in the news. But Iran, again, knows they hold the cards, so they're not going to back down. So when the immovable object comes into the unstoppable force, you get an explosion. Michael Yon, give us your 35,000-foot view.
Right. I don't see any off-ramp. I don't see that happening at all. I mean, obviously, everything is possible, but I'm not seeing the actual route to an off-ramp. This is not meant to have an off-ramp. Actually, when did Israel mention about attacking Mecca and Medina? I didn't see that, but I've been suspecting that may happen.
No. They've had Israeli ministers say we could blow up a bunch of them on TV. They've said we ought to drop a missile on Al-Aqsa, you know, where the second temple's under it, the rubble when Titus sacked it. And they said we could blow that up and trigger a Shiite-Sunni civil war.
So I'm just saying, extrapolating out to Mecca and Medina and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, so that's okay. This is you saw the alleged attack from Saudi Arabia and the United States on the pilgrims related to Karbala today, right? Now there is the opening. There's your entree right there to go ahead and attack Mecca and Medina and blame it on Iran, right? Which is what I've been expecting.
Explain what that means. Explain what that means. Explain what that means. People who don't know, you get some Shiites killed. Now that sets the false flag up to claim Iran hits the holy sites in Saudi Arabia.
Right, exactly. So, and so basically it's a, you know, sort of Catholics versus
Protestants. Remember, not everybody's a famous geopolitical Green Beret, 30 years, 40 years, you know, running around the planet with armies. So just, you have to explain this to people. We have a smart audience, but you need to really explain it.
Right. So basically putting it in Christian terms, it's basically like Catholics versus Protestants, you know, so you're hitting you would basically hit the Vatican and hit wherever well, the Protestants are all over the place, but you know, you're basically attacking their holiest spots to get those to fight each other, you know, like has happened before with Catholics. You go up to Belfast and they still got a wall between Catholics and Protestants, but it's similar with Muslims with Sunni and Shia, right? Basically it's a direct equivalent actually. And so there's been a serious effort to get those guys fighting each other. Sunni versus Shia, but this is part of a larger destruction program, right? And keeping those guys, you know, there's not a single train in the Middle East, by the way, that crosses borders. I mean, and that was part of an old game to keep these people all separated. But what I think is happening, Alex, is the depopulation that you've talked about many times. Global depopulation is unfolding, and in service to that. Getting rid of that energy over there, getting rid of the fertilizer capacity in those trade routes is very helpful in causing global famine, right? I think brought more broadly from that area of the world, Middle East, but shooting over to Strait of Malacca, I think that's going to get closed. I think the Turkish Strait's going to get closed. The Bosphorus, Dardanelles, I think you're going to see those closed, right? At some point in Danish Strait, I think you're going to see that closed. I think you're going to end up seeing attacks on Hamburg at some point. This is big, Alex. You know this. You talked about this stuff for years, and here it comes. And so I think what we're seeing here, that attack apparently on pilgrims in Iraq today, is part of that. You know, just getting the rattling the box, getting the Sunni and the Shia to really fight each other madly, which that could spread to other countries. By the way, that could spread to. Of course, you know, like in Pakistan and India, I mean, this could spread all over the place. This won't be confined. If you get the Sunni versus Shia fighting on a large scale, these things could unfold in the United States, of course.
And let me add two data points to that. Exactly. Let me add two data points to your expertise on that. I want to bring Rex in with his questions. You had Trump 2 weeks ago saying he may send in al-Qaeda that we put in charge of Syria when Trump was not even president-elect. It was done by Biden, NATO, with Turkey and Israel. They put the head of al-Qaeda in there. They've exterminated more Christians and more Alawite Muslims than others. He said we may send in al-Qaeda into Lebanon. Israel says they're going to take all of Lebanon. They're going to take large parts of Syria, greater Israel. They've uncloaked. They admit that, mask off to stir people up. How does that tie in now that we see them activating, as you said, the al-Qaeda armies for this, and how do the Muslims not see through this when it's so transparent? I remember, you know, we exposed on 9/11 how the West was running Israel and the U.S., al-Qaeda. Now it's all declassified and admitted. It's crazy how Lindsey Graham, it turned out through USA and the State Department, was their main funder along with John McCain while he claimed he was fighting them. I mean, so this is just nakedly out in the open. They're gearing up. It's already started a massive Muslim civil war that will then lay the way for a greater Israel. This is so cold-blooded and just absolutely disgusting.
Right. I mean, they're trying to foment a civil war between the Muslims to in service to the Greater Israel Project, which and also in service to global famines. Now, I think they're going to just genocide Lebanon just the way, I mean, the Zionists are going to genocide Lebanon just the way that they've genocided Gaza. And again, that's part of the Greater Israel Project. They're going to end up in a fight with obviously going for Egypt and Turkey as well, which is, you know, at some point they may have bitten off. There you go. There's the patch right there, the Greater Israel. It doesn't include the whole map, by the way. If you look down there, the New Somalia and that sort of thing, you know, near the Bab al-Mandeb, you can see that that will be another part of this. They're highest, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society is moving people out of Somalia into the United States and Europe. But, you know, you can see Egypt there as part of the Greater Israel Project. This is why I wonder what their plans, they must have put a lot of consideration into Aswan Dam. Will they destroy Aswan Dam or try to collect it up? I don't know. What will the Zionists do with Aswan Dam? What will they do with Mosul Dam? I think they're going to destroy Mosul Dam, but, you know, we'll wait and see. But they could destroy Mosul Dam and then blame it on the Iranians. That would be child's play to do that as well, especially once you get a civil war going. Now, keep in mind, if you blow up Mosul Dam, there you go. There's Netanyahu holding up the map. But if they blow up Mosul Dam, that will do significant damage to the population of Iraq. And I just think they'll go for it. And also, you know, keep in mind, World War One, the biggest part of World War One, you know, the huge spark that got that going was not Prince Ferdinand or Archduke Ferdinand.
It was the Ottoman Empire.
That's right. It was that railway right through Mosul, right? It was that railway that goes right through the Berlin to Baghdad railway that would eventually go to Basra, right? And then there's oil terminals down Eilat and Kayat. I've been on those oil terminals. Those are right off.
Let me raise this for people. Remember, you're very sophisticated. I'm not just hearing that. It's just true. And we have smart listeners. A lot of them are following you. Some aren't because I can barely follow you, and I'm pretty well informed. So just you got to get down our level here. Wars never really end. They just pause, as you know. And historically, and especially in the modern age. And so all the same things like herpes is coming back to the surface. There's a big flare up, here and all the same preparations are being made for an even bigger, explosion. And so that's where we are, is at this jumping off point. And I know you're just done with Trump. You don't even care. Like he doesn't matter. Like he's a puppet, which I get, but we can put pressure on his administration. I don't think Trump has any idea that he's been set up to take the fall for this giant war that's already started in the history books. And the people he thought were his buddies are his absolute sworn enemies, as Tucker warned him many times. I mean, it's just my hope is that Trump could wake the hell up that he's been set up. And doesn't keep like a degenerate gambler doubling down, that somehow he can put the brakes on Israel, cut the money off, the weapons off, make a deal with Iran and pull out of this now. Because the Iranians have to know, yeah, they're winning a strategic, you know, battle now. But if they force us into total war, Israel intends to win this in the end and intends to make it so bad we've got to send in troops and nukes. It's an insane gamble. But I think the Iranians need to come to their senses and not gamble and make some type of deal with Trump. Do you think there's any way of that happening?
No, I don't see an off ramp, Alex, because I don't see that's not the energy in the system that we're seeing. This is, again, as you just mentioned, this is it's like a herpes outbreak. You know, I've been calling it an inflection point, but I may start calling it a herpes outbreak because this is a long war and there are outbreaks like, the Great War, World War One was an outbreak, actually. This is the same war as World War One, by the way. This is the same war as World War Two. These are all the same war. It's just, they have different names and that sort of thing, but this is the exact same war. And it's never ended, and it's not, there's no end in sight that I see, as long as there's humans in that area. And it doesn't matter, by the way, as we mentioned before, it doesn't matter if you take all the people out of there that are there now and replace them with somebody else. The people that are there will end up fighting because the routes and resources there are, they're going to fight for those routes and resources.
Hi, Leon, stay there. You're totally on target. People are learning about real warfare, real geopolitics, just like World War II never ended between Ukraine and Russia. It's the same story. And who was it? Nazis versus... I'll tell you something right now. That is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air. And I want you to really listen to me. And I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes. And I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay? Two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is mebendazole. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigly. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web, RXs, and great people we've used that have been sponsors in the past. But this is Bigly doing it. And the key is, it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake, or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of mebendazole. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. Mebendazole. And it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research, and they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went, and I got it from a doctor, and it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas had already been pushing it on me for years, and I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo, the ivermectin and the mebendazole, together, and they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasite. Just search the term ivermectin, mebendazole, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician, and when you go to the website, it's, you know, online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend, but talk to your doctor. This is my own personal opinion. What I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and mebendazole. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the mebendazole that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week, but I tend to forget to do that. He's literally just says take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor to tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple of times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers. 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to fund our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin, mebendazole right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to the AlexJonesStore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. They have sexy names. Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, Bovine Colostrum. Oh, research Bovine Colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research Irish Sea Moss. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at TheAlexJonesStore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Now, I do something occasionally that irritates listeners, you know, and it irritates me too. But you notice when I have a guest on who's covering stuff, I know the general public understands. I have a really good grasp of that. I don't interrupt them. Sometimes I'll go 10 minutes and the guest will say, are you there? And I'm like, yeah, I'm listening. Michael Yon has such an incredible grasp of geopolitics, history, how it's all interconnected, real war theory. And I've read hundreds of books on this myself. He knows way more than I do. That I know, am I being insulting? Some of it was going over my head. I know, slow down. And then he started elaborating. World War I was just a continuation of the old empire's war. World War II was that. This is mainline history. We get to PhD level. just like Ukraine, was the Catholics split in the West and the East, the Orthodox, and that was where a lot of the main battles happened and the main gateway for Barbarossa in 42 into Russia. That's why it's so important to Russia. So it's continuation. That's why the Azov Battalion are the grandkids of the Nazis. It's why the, you know, all these ministers and people are the grandkids of Nazis. They are Nazis when the Russians say that. And then you had the standing ovation a few years ago of the SS officer that on record actually did massacre people thousands at a time, throwing them in graves, Poles and Ukrainians. And they said he fought the Russians in World War II, and they all get up and clap. Now, they couldn't all be that ignorant in the Canadian Parliament that the Russians were on our side in World War II. No, they are saying we are for the Nazis. We are for that. And now you have Laura Loomer, I'm not even attacking her. It just shows, I think, her own ignorance or whatever's going on. She meets with the founder and the head of the Azov Battalion. We'll put the shot on screen and says, he's not a Nazi. Look, I'm Jewish. He didn't hurt me. Well, his leader is Jewish, Zelensky. Zelensky, 4 years ago, got us, hey, you got a lot of Nazis in the Azov Battalion. He said, they're Ukrainians, too. So it's not debatable. It's not like he's a dragon going to eat you because you're Jewish. The point is, he is the Nazi contingent. They do blood and soil, Heil Hitler stuff. They do all the rituals, all the torch-lit things at night. They admit that. They have the same insignia of the Ukrainian Nazis in World War II. That is not debated. That is a fact. And so, and I'm only showing this to show the continuation of history and how Laura Loomer is so over the top with her gaslighting, or maybe she's just this ignorant, that she's over there saying, look, he's not a Nazi, he's nice. I'm Jewish. He's being friendly to me. This is next level insanity. Here's a clip of the SS officer, almost 100 years old, getting a standing ovation. Then the Russians wanted him extradited as a Nazi war criminal. They said no. Undebated Nazi. Simon Wiesenthal didn't hunt down real Nazis. Klaus Barbie, the Angel of Death, Dr. Mengele, they were all allowed to live in South America. We got thousands and thousands, 36,000 Nazis over here to run all of our programs. Then in World War II, Operation Paperclip. And I'm not saying it's a Nazi conspiracy. I'm saying they were brought in to the globalist system because of their understanding of the Russian networks and fighting that. And then she's over there, I think she's just ignorant, literally saying this guy's not a Nazi when our own State Department says they are Nazis and that's a part of their main army. Here's the clip, just for historical context, of the SS officer being given a standing ovation.
Zelensky's speech received at least a dozen standing ovations. There was also one for this man, a 98-year-old Ukrainian-Canadian who fought for Ukrainian independence against the Russians during the Second World War.
The origin of this invite is one of the many unanswered mysteries pertaining to Nazigate. Apparently, it was the Hunka family that reached out to Mr. Rota, suggesting that it would make for a whiz-bang photo op to have Hunka Sr. lauded in the House of Commons when Zelensky dropped by for a visit. Did the Hunka family not consider that in this day and age of the internet, people might do a little investigating on the Googler machine and dredge up some really embarrassing details? Not that the mainstream media could be bothered to do so last week, mind you. It was my beloved big boss man, Ezra Levant, that got the Nazigate ball rolling last weekend by simply doing some basic mathematics. Which is to say, if someone is fighting against the Russians prior to May 8, 1945, that means you were on the wrong side of history.
Now, what's important is he was an SS officer who did take part in documented mass machine gunnings and throwing people into mass graves. Where Zelensky's gone and put plaques up for the dead. This is unbelievable. A true dyed-in-the-wool, thoroughbred Nazi, standing ovation because he fought the Russians in World War II. That's how stupid they think we are. Now, getting back to Michael Yon, I'm going to turn the baton over to him and Rex to get into all of this. When Joe Kent comes on, Rex, please ask him about off-ramps. He's been trying to get off-ramps. I know Jan's saying there's too much kinetic energy like a hurricane. This is going down. I agree with that overall, but we've still got to pull out of this at some point. So we'll be looking at all of that. But getting back to this being a continuation, Lawrence of Arabia, World War One, the drawing of the maps, the creating of the modern Middle East, Israel wants to implode that, bring in a greater Israel. They want us to fight and die in it. This is an acceleration of the original World War that we're just entering the third act of right now. Please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. A huge sale, 50% off, methylene red, other great products about to end.
Also, we have the new RX site, 7076rx.health, where you can get the mebendazole and the ivermectin combo together. Nothing like it for anti-parasiticals and so much more. Just research what mebendazole is also known to do. What is mebendazole associated with in the studies? You'll be blown away what they don't want you to know. 7076rx.health and your funding or operation of what we're doing. This is real pharmaceutical grade from a pharmacy. There's a lot of fake stuff out there that costs even more. This is a great deal and it funds our operation. Get yours now at 7076rx.health. And without further ado, that's why I was jumping in on Jan, because he's a little bit moving so fast here. That's why you got to do big picture for folks and then explain, because most people don't understand that the world wars never ended. They don't know that Korea never ended. It's officially still a war. They don't understand the real geopolitical stuff. We're not putting people down. Our audience is very sophisticated, but even the sophisticated ones would have trouble following you because it's at a PhD level. Please, Michael Young, continue on. And now Rex Jones enters situation here as the co-host. Rex Jones.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. What you're talking about is Sykes-Picot, right? It's all these lines that Britain and the U.S. drew to, you know, decide who was going to be where and who was going to run what. And essentially what we did with Saudi Arabia is we gave a certain Bedouin tribe, you know, authority over the money and the country and the property and everything there. And as long as they agreed to abide by our system, everything was all good. Now we're seeing that kind of fall apart. We're seeing the enforcement of that old system fail from the West. Michael Yan, you talk about human asthmatic or osmotic pressure a lot, right? That would be the mass migration caused by conflicts like this. I was seeing footage out of Spain this morning that was truly horrific. I guess there's a mass migrant wave coming from Morocco. Now, this may be unrelated. I don't think it's unrelated to what's happening in the Middle East as a whole. This is the type of thing at large for many countries that's going to result as a consequence of us being involved in this conflict. What do you think of that?
Right. I mean, some were coming through Ceuta, right? That's, I think, Ceuta right there.
Right.
I went down to Ceuta, actually, with Chuck Holton. We went to the Morocco side of it. Ceuta and Melilla, those are two Spanish cities in Morocco. So two Spanish EU cities are actually in Africa, right? So if you get into those cities, you're actually in the EU. And so we went up there to there's a wall around those cities, but there was huge amounts of aliens camped outside of Ceuta when we went there. Fascinating. You mentioned T.E. Lawrence, by the way, or Alex did.
Yes.
And it's interesting. I was looking at this last night, Seven Pillars of Wisdom, T.E. Lawrence. This is a really incredible book, by the way. I was just looking at it last night and he just happened to mention it. But, you know, when you're looking at what's going on here, when we look at the Nazis that we were just talking about, the Nazis and the Zionists have been working together closely for a long time. They're that tight together, right? The Nazis, the Nazis were trying to get Jews out of Germany and the Zionists were trying to get Jews into Israel. And so the Zionists were killing a lot of Jews. Zionists actually are Jews, obviously. But the Zionists and Jews who are not Zionists have been killing each other for more than a century. And this is well documented. I've got a book here somewhere. I had it out a couple of days ago, but it's about how the Zionists and the Nazis cooperated, right? Actually, this book is written by a Jewish author, but the fact is, a lot of the Zionists and the Nazis moved down to Argentina, where they're at now. In fact, I was doing these meetings every once a week for a while when we were down there, and they were in the old Nazi embassy. And this is a bunch of Jewish guys going to the meeting. There it is. Yeah, that's I've got that book. It's quite fascinating. But you know, it's clear that the Zionists down in Argentina are working to gin up a war with Brazil, and that's in service to the larger war, the same war that we keep talking about in the Middle East. It's all the same war. But again, the Zionists and the Nazis, they work hand in glove. The idea that they don't is completely false.
Yeah, I totally agree. I see this all as already a world war. There are people that deny it's even a regional war. They'll call it a conflict. They'll say, you know, it's what has Trump said? It's a detour, You know, we got to take a detour. It's an excursion. And obviously, we're talking about not just our lack of munitions now. We've expended nearly all of our defense and a lot of our offensive capability, but also just the cost of American lives. You know, I've heard this argument from a few people. They say, well, you know, we lose more American soldiers in training exercises and accidents. We've only lost 18 men and women in this conflict so far. Michael Yon, you're a combat veteran, a military man. What do you say to that?
Well, this is just the beginning. I think we're going to see a draft, and I think they're going to work to kill off our people, and then draft people into our military that will be able to do genocide at home. That's clearly the direction that this is going. This is much more than, you know, a few little firefights or missiles going back and forth. This is a massive war, and like your father said, Alex, this is like a herpes outbreak. It's part of the same old war, but it's a, I call them inflection points, but I might start calling them herpes outbreaks. But I mean, but they're, you know, it can be quite sure. Significant though. And in this case, I'm guessing they'll end up being billions, dead, from famines and whatnot. When the famines really start, we can see we're heading that direction. If and when they start, the so-called migration, the weaponized migration, the human osmotic pressure, that push and the pull of migration will be intense, right? So places like Ceuta and Melilla, well, they'll just be overran, and Spain is being overrun now. Of course, you know, the Zionists hate Spain, and they're very open about hating, you know, Ireland and some of the other places, and they threaten them often with doing exactly what's doing. They invade them with so-called migrants to, you know, Camp of the Saints style, actually destroy all of Europe and the United States. Keep in mind, the Israelis are helping people invade the United States, and they openly do this. HIAS, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, it brings in huge numbers. They've got an office down in Darien Gap. They've got a building right next to China Camp. I mean, I've been there many times, like 100. I mean, it's all the time. And you know, I took congressmen down there. I took Laura Loomer down there. Actually, Laura Loomer was at the highest building, right? She was actually there. And actually she talked, I have video of Laura talking with an Iranian, and it's on video. I published it before several times. Ann Vandersteel was there. I made video. She was talking with an Iranian that highest was helping that Iranian get to the United States. And that guy looked as, I mean, he looked like, he's a serious guy. You should see the video. I can send it to you. But yeah. And so, you know, HIAS is helping Iranians invade the United States. Not just Iranians. They're helping Chinese. They're helping Bangladeshis and people from about 150
countries. Because it's about the collapse of the West. It's about importing whatever third world population, various populations. The goal is not to have something homogenous. It's to have as many different factions and groups as possible to cause chaos. I think this is very obvious, but never for them. Never for them. They don't have to take any migrants. They don't have to, you know, deal with the Palestinians and give them a state. They just say, hey, we're going to kill them all, genocide them all, and then you're going to take the refugees. I think this is quite shocking language as well. I hear this all the time from people over there. Somehow it's our responsibility, and I would say it is because we helped kill the people over there. Michael, what do you think about just the expansion of the war? Saudi Arabia joins the U.S. in strikes on Iran-backed militias in Iraq. I'm sure you saw this story. What's your take on what's happening there?
That's in service to getting the big war going between Sunni and Shia.
Right.
Keep in mind, that can be global. That can unfold. You know, when the United States formed, a lot of, you know, the battles that we were having in the United States were, you know, imported, right? They were imported from Europe. That was part of a world war. I mean, our revolution was actually part of a larger world war. Again, we have two wars that we call world wars, but there's been many, many wars that were actually, I mean, the whole thing is, it's not these inflection points, let's say, they're components of a global war that's been going on for 500 years, a good 400 years, certainly since, you know, roughly around 1500. You know, the Treaty of Tordesillas, that the Pope brokered between Spain and Portugal in 1494, that was, you might say, the beginning of maritime world war, right? Where it was really starting to get big, where the Pope divided the world into two between. This is the Portuguese side. That's why Brazil speaks Portuguese today, and And then on the, you know, the Spanish side on the other side of that line. And then about 30 years later came up with the Treaty of Saragossa, which is another line, which, you know, put Japan on the Portuguese side. I'm in Japan now, right? So that's why the Japanese ended up down in Nagasaki and they brought in their craziness and the Japanese chopped them up with swords and said, get out of here. So, but they let the, they called them Nanban, Southern Barbarians. But then later, that's what the Japanese called the Portuguese. But then later the Dutch came and did not push religion. They just did trade and they were allowed to stay. But that's part of the same war is what I'm getting to. There's no difference in these, the century after century. It's just there are inflection points and the parties sometimes change. Like the Dutch East India Company is no longer a major player. The British East India Company is no longer a major player.
Right. Things evolve and mature. Things evolve and mature over time.
Right. So different crabs go into the hermit crab shells, right?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. So like, what's the U.S. military's next goal objective with the gradual expansion of the regional war? Like, what do you see the next, 2 to 4 weeks as being? Are we going to see more of a stalemate, more of the tit for tat? Cause we're kind of ending like the second phase of the conflict. The first phase, the initial 39 days of the war, like the full kinetic engagement, the full wrath of America, whatever you want to say. Then we enter into this kind of MOU era where, 6 weeks ago, Unc Trump comes out at the G7. And says, we're almost out of oil. We can't do this. We got to figure something out. And then a la the Treaty of Versailles, he ends up signing the MOU, right? And that didn't end up panning out. We've kind of returned to the tit for tat. Now we see that expanding with the strikes that Saudi Arabia is joining us in doing on Iran-backed militias in Iraq. And they say that's in response to Yemen's Houthis helping the Iraqi-backed militias. Michael Young, what happens next?
Just continue to explode. As you and Alex were talking, your father were talking about earlier, our eyes have been taken out over there with the radars, right? You mentioned, the cost of some of those radars and they're gone. They have to put AWACS and other, assets up there to even get an idea what's going on. But our bases have been pushed back, like headquarters at Bahrain's been destroyed, Fifth Fleet. I've been in that headquarters actually. The Secretary of Defense picked me up in Afghanistan and brought me over there, introduced me to the Admiral in charge, Admiral Gorton, he was his name. Secretary of Defense was Robert Gates at the time. I'd fly around with him sometimes and see things, but that's gone now. I mean, that headquarters is, our bases have been pushed back. Iran is actually doing swimmingly in this, right? They could emerge from this as a world power, actually. Right. And they know that.
Well, that's the key, because all they have to do is control the strait. We have to implement regime change. This is a regime change war. And denying that on our side is incredibly dishonest. And that's the main thing that grinds my gears about the conflict. They literally told us on day one what this was about. Before day one, this has been Netanyahu's plan for 35 plus years. And the denial of, now it's just, we're going to control the strait. We're going to charge a fee so they don't charge a fee. It's better when we do it. We're ultimately not going to be able to implement any of that unless we take the country over. My thing is, how does that happen? Because everything I hear from the various geopolitical experts, including yourself, is that the military is depleted. The munitions are depleted. The bases are destroyed. The radar is out of commission. What does America do if Trump does decide, which it looks like he has, in my opinion, to stay involved in the conflict? Because we can say, like, it's all falling apart, but, like, can it all fall apart forever? Can this happen for a whole nother year? What's the timeline there?
Trump doesn't run this war. I mean, the fight has been started and it's game on. It's out of his control. It's just out of his control. He can talk a big game. I think from here it's going to spread. I think eventually Malacca is highly threatened and Strait of Malacca. I think, even Danish Strait up there, and that's very important. The Turkish, straits, of course, Bosphorus, Dardanelles, Suez itself, Gibraltar, Panama, of course. I mean, all of these places are, this is not about some local thing in the Middle East, which is huge. This is about global depopulation. This is much, much bigger than, this can't be understood without looking at the macro view. Actually, on the macro view, things get more simple. They don't get more complex. Things are far more complex on the tactical level and the strategic level. But when you go to grand strategy, which is more what I talk about, it gets actually weirdly simpler. And for instance, that's how I was able to predict Strait of Hormuz would be closed in last year, last July. I published it on my Substack, right? And many times I mentioned this and even predicted the date of the attack very accurately, you know, and on my Substack. And so what I'm getting to is this is global. It's been going on for a long time. There is a clear push to keep in mind that the war has so many aspects to it. For instance, knocking the farmers off of their farms, fishermen out of their boats, screw worms coming back, Nord Stream blown up, Groningen and closed. Groningen gas field, the biggest gas field in Europe, right? And so many things, there's so many components to this. Fertilizer plants burning down.
No, that's the key. That's the key, because why would the EU be spoiling for a war when they've destroyed their own domestic energy and manufacturing capability? It makes absolutely no sense, right? You're dooming yourself, literally. And you could say we're doing the same thing to a lesser extent. You're talking about Europe. What's this gas field that's closed?
Groningen. It's in Netherlands. Misako and I have been up there and it's closed. I mean, it's the big, when I was saying that, I think I may have been on Jordan Peterson's show or somewhere. I said that, you know, I think that they may close the Groningen gas field. Many people got upset. They're like, they're never going to close Groningen gas field. It's the biggest gas field in Europe. And I'm like, hello. You know, that's why Nord Stream got blown up, which we also successfully predicted. Not just predicted, we were over. I had bought an iPad just to track Nord Stream flows. And it was just a dedicated iPad because it was a website that showed how many cubic meters per second were going through. So Nord Stream is Groningen is closed. That's, you know, and when you add all these things, they're putting these ridiculous windmills all over the place, right? Which is all part of the fight. Taking farmers off of their farms. And in Netherlands, they use the excuse of nitrogen. They're saying there's too much nitrogen. But you just cross the border over to Germany because, you know, Netherlands and Germany share a border. And you go into Germany and they don't talk about nitrogen anymore. They talk about carbon dioxide. You should see those windmills over in Netherlands. They're unbelievable, especially the ones that are out in the North Sea. Now, keep in mind, speaking of the North Sea, eventually there'll be a big fight over the North Sea. I'm not sure how that'll play out, but the North Sea, when it comes to routes and resources, the North Sea is, you know, it's a king daddy, right? There's been a lot of war over the North Seas in the past, and it's almost a sure bet that there'll eventually be wars up there again. And again, that would include Russia, obviously, and others.
But 100%.
This war is planned. But why would they do this, you mentioned? This is important. The leadership, so-called leadership that's been installed, they're just a bunch of robots, including here in Japan, including across the United States. In many of the countries that I go to, the people that have been installed, they seem to think that they're on a mission from God and they're going to have a seat on Noah's Ark, right? They're going to have a seat. But here's a newsflash. A lot of these people took the death jab, right? And a lot of these people, if you took the death jab, there is no seat reserved for you on the ARC. I don't care if you work for BlackRock, which many of those executives actually took the jab. If you took the jab, you're not one of the chosen people, period, right? And so and that includes royal families and many others. But they seem to think that they're part of the ARC, or they're going to be, on the ARC, but they're not going to be. But a lot of these Europeans that are just turning out the lights on Europe, and Americans turning out the lights on America, and other countries like Australia doing it, and here in Japan, the leadership.
Powerful stuff. Michael Yon, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. We'll be right back. Thank you, Michael.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We are now being joined by the 8th director of the National Counterterrorism Center, a combat veteran, special forces operator, and all-around man's man, Joe Kent, joins me here for the third hour. I want to get right into it. The updates on the war. It's July 30th, 2026. The Middle East continues to be on fire. Since the last time we talked, Joe, we've lost four additional American service members that we know about. Their names, Tyler, Sarah, Angel, and Michael, all now deceased in a war of choice, ultimately manufactured by another country. Joe, where do things stand today? Hold on, I don't have audio. Oh. They say that you're muted, perhaps on your end. All right. We will get right back into it. I'm going to read the update again so that you guys know. Yemen's Houthis are attacking Saudi Arabia from Iraq. Sources say what that has led to is a Saudi Arabian strike in joint with the United States of America on Iran-backed militias in Iraq. Saudi Arabia and the U.S. have carried out strikes against Iran-backed militias in Iraq in a potential escalation, definite escalation in the Middle East conflict. CENTCOM says the strikes were against Iran-aligned terrorists that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps directed to attack U.S. forces and Saudi energy infrastructure. Iraq's paramilitary PMF force, which is dominated by Iran-backed Shia militias, said at least 20 of its members had been killed in U.S.-Saudi strikes on its basis. What this is just the escalation of the regional war. This is why from day one I have maintained this has to stop immediately. This is why Joe has said the literal exact same thing, because this is a war of choice. The only choice that we have now is to get out of the region. We have to pull our troops, we have to pull our bases, and we have to take our people home, because not only does this not make sense, not only can we not win, the troops are not defensible. They are in metal sheds, not bunkers. They do not have bunkers, same quality the Israelis have, and they are getting blown up and they are dying. And it's not just the troops that are dying. There are over 500 casualties. We will not know the true reality of this for months, if not years to come, probably years. And this is all for one very specific reason. They do not want you to know how bad it is, because if you knew how bad it was, you would openly, peacefully, politically rise up against it and demand a change. And this is why from day one, I have maintained the same thing that Joe maintains. We must declare victory and go home. This is why it made zero sense to me with Operation Midnight Hammer. Operation Midnight Hammer broke my heart, because you have a situation where we're all right. We have Joe Kent joining us back live. I did my best there to kill a little bit of time. I do want to ask you, though, what's the state of things July 30th, 2026, as they stand?
Unfortunately, we're not in a good position at all. I would say even worse than the last time that we spoke. Like you said, we tragically lost some soldiers. We did our round of retaliation strikes that lasted for quite some time. There was back and forth between us and the Iranians. And then we attempted this, you know, I think a sort of an effort to have a ceasefire so we could get more space for the negotiations. But the Iranians basically said that they're not playing that. And they just restarted the hostilities by launching, you know, some cruise missiles back at one of our bases in Jordan. And since then, we did retaliatory strikes against one of the Iranian-backed militias inside Iraq. But there's some technical issues we can get into there. That is part of the Iraqi popular mobilization forces. That is part of the Iraqi military. So now we're doing strikes against basically the guys whose paychecks that we're paying inside of Iraq. Now, those guys, allegedly, they did take some strikes against Saudi, hit a couple of the different oil fields there. The Houthis said, no, that wasn't them. That was actually us. The Houthis also hit some of the oil fields. We have the Houthis that are even more active now in shutting down the Bab al-Mandeb. The Straits of Hormuz continues to be strangled by the Iranians. So we're in a tough spot. I mean, President Trump has very limited options, unfortunately. His best hand still remains just to, I would say, to walk away from this whole thing and do the best he can here domestically to declare victory. But he's not doing that. And I fear that he's not doing that. And I fear that he is going to escalate this because now that the Iranians have hit us once more, the Iranians aren't giving him what he needs. President Trump feels like he needs a, you know, a piece of paper, some kind of a formal agreement that says, you know, Iran's going to give him something so that he can say that he got a deal. I think the Iranians are aware of this and they are not going to give him a deal. So right now, Iran has the upper hand, and whether or not Iran chooses to like kind of go for broke and to try and get us sucked into a larger conflict, or they just keep us, you know, strangled economically. That's kind of where things stand right now.
Powerful. Stay with us.
Has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the dual carbon gravity water filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, we ain't doing no Hasbara here today. It's the real news, the real information, the real guests that can deliver it all. We just had the powerful Michael Yon on for the prior hour. We have Joe Kent joining us now again here in the third hour with Andrew Wilson coming up. Joe, how are you doing today with all of the news?
I'm doing well. I wish we had a silver lining that we could put on this. Just unfortunately, we're just in a bad position. I hope President Trump, and I pray for him to get some clarity in all this and just realize that he's getting, you know, bad advice from a lot of the people who encouraged him to get into this war. He tunes them out and he just says, hey, I'm going to come home. I'm going to bring the troops home. I think he should look at, you know, the long arc of history. We've gotten out of other wars and temporarily it's been bad for presidents. But in the long run, when we got out of the wars, it ended up being the right thing to do, you know, for a president. So I think if any president could sell this, it could potentially be President Trump. Unfortunately, I just have not seen him behave in a way that makes any sense to me recently. So I do fear that we're going to continue this escalation cycle.
Yeah. The question for me today is like, how are we going to acknowledge the reality? When is reality going to come knocking on the door? Because everything we've talked about for weeks, months at this point, a lot of people have, all the geopolitical analysts have, we're running low on munitions. The bases are heavily destroyed. The radars are out of commission. We've had a number of destroyed aircraft. I think the number is over 40 that have been taken out of commission. If we're going to stay in kind of the second phase of the war, and I'd define the first phase of the war as the 39 days of hell, the unleashing of the American military, the bombings over and over and over again, this second phase, this tit for tat, Joe, in your experience, or just what does your experience tell you about how much longer we can eke out this tit for tat thing before Trump either has to make major decision, ground invasion, whatever that would mean, perhaps further strikes, or does he back off? What do you think?
I think he's going to have to make a decision here pretty quickly. And we even heard President Trump say this himself when the MOU first came out and President Trump was justifying why he was going to give the MOU a chance. He said, hey, we were about 4 weeks away from economic bedlam. And so basically the predictions by a lot of the different oil experts say that we're going to hit a major crisis, not just here in the States, but globally in terms of, you know, not just oil, not just gas, but things like fertilizer production, et cetera, you know, here by the end of the summer, fall, winter timeframe. So he doesn't have that long, especially with the tight shot clock of the midterms approaching. So time is not on President Trump's side. The Iranians know that. And so for the Iranians to continue to do what they're doing right now, it's very advantageous for them. And so I think that they are more than content to sit back and say, there's no way we're going to give President Trump the deal that he wants. He killed our supreme leader. He brought all this upon us. We have to, basically for the sake of deterrence, but then also for vengeance, we have to bloody his nose. And I think the debate within Iran is, how do they bloody his nose? Do they do it all at once? Or do they sit back and let the economics and all the different wars start getting lit on fire, and just the expansion of the war, the way that Zelensky and others are trying to combine these two fronts, like thinking that that's somehow going to help us? That does not help us out at all. And I think the Iranians realize that. So short of President Trump realizing his best move is just to walk away, I do fear that here pretty soon he's going to have to make another, you know, decision. Does he get us further into this? I saw reports, you know, on Twitter. I don't know if they're accurate or not, but this sounds right to me, that the Pentagon is saying, hey, boss, we can do another 10 to 15 days of heavy bombing, and that will take out all of Iran's missile capabilities. I really hope he doesn't even entertain that at this point, because the Iranians have shown that they have a very durable system that has been dispersed, that's hard for us to vector in on. So where would we be in the next 10 to 14 days? I think that's how you end up with something like a ground incursion, because President Trump's just going to get frustrated with the lack of results from this air campaign. And then I think, you know, at a bad moment where he's, you know, mad and wants to get something done, he signs off on some sort of a ground invasion of either one of the islands, or, you know, Bandar Abbas, the port there that we've been kind of doing some shaping operations around through our air campaign. That's truly what I fear, because his options are just really limited right now. The idea that he's going to be able to, you know, choke them off economically. You know, I saw a lot of like happy talk about how the economic warfare that we're waging against Iran, you know, that's going to be the final nail in the coffin. It's like, look, these guys have been under some form of heavy sanctions since 1979. There's not much more that we can do to them. And as a matter of fact, the dollar is even weaker because of everything we did in Ukraine. And there's just all these alternative workarounds for them to sell their oil on the market right now. So again, the Iranians know they have time on their side. And I think they know that they have more options than we do, regardless of, you know, how we want to beat our chests here in America.
Right. I just think the West has made too many like key assumptions, they would say, in like intelligence gathering, right? We've made too many key assumptions. Oh, like they're about to fall. We're about to beat them. They're about to be out of missiles. And the reality is, I think it's demonstrated, our intelligence on the ground has not been good enough. It really hasn't been, because they've had the ability to continue the missile strikes, the drone strikes. Trump can say it's obliterated, it's gone, but there's a reality that our ships are parked very far off the coast in the blockade. Because if we got any closer, they'd be under severe threat. Now, there can be a debate whether those are Chinese anti-ship missiles, whether the Iranians might have those. The reality is, they have a win condition called the Strait of Hormuz. We don't really have a win condition besides taking over their country. And I think it's key. You mentioned earlier our key allies, our strongest allies, Zelensky and Netanyahu, visiting for the state funeral of Lindsey Graham. I guess he was literally in the rotunda. And while they're there, Netanyahu makes a statement. A reporter asks him, are there any cracks in the relationship between you and Trump? He says, no, it's as strong as a wall of granite, which is just, to me, it's pretty terrifying, because if it's as strong as a wall of granite, it sounds like he's probably going to get what he wants. And then Zelensky comes over here and kind of makes the same implied threat that made Trump outraged when he visited and sat down with Trump and JD, which is, you have big ocean. You don't feel pain now, but you'll feel pain later. So all these vague threats, veiled threats, it's simply put, both Netanyahu and Zelensky need a wider conflict in order to stay in power. This is just a reality. Zelensky is a dictator. They don't have elections there anymore. He openly says, we don't have it. It's wartime. We don't have an election. But in the Constitution, it states they have to have it even during wartime. Netanyahu, of course, wanted by his own government not just the ICJ, wanted by Israel for crimes. They will not be able to prosecute him as long as he remains in power. Just how do you see kind of this new really axis of evil forming, man? I don't want to be a part of it.
I don't either. And there, look, there's no advantage to America for being a part of any of these conflicts. I have yet to see any of the hawks, any of the, you know, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, neocons, or, you know, people who are just cheerleading this war or the Ukraine war explain what is actually in it for the American people and explain it in a very, very clear and concise way that makes sense to your average American. If you say that we have to, like, you know, win over the Donbass, otherwise Putin is going to roll into Paris by Christmas and then he'll be in New York City, you know, by New Year's, like, that just doesn't make any sense. That's nonsense. Right. This war has been going on now. It's been a bloodbath for well over, you know, we're coming up on our third year. So, you know, the whole thing there is just completely and totally ridiculous. We've wasted our munitions. We're now provoking essentially a nuclear war. It's already a heavy economic war with the Russians. This has weakened the dollar. It's put us further in debt. So there's no benefit for the American people. And now Zelensky, because he knows that he can kind of expand his war that was, you know, kind of out of the spotlight for a while and not really popular of Republicans in general. Now he can try and wrap it into the Iran war that, although not, that war is not popular here either, he sees it as getting more attention, and rightfully so. It's getting more attention than his war. So he's trying to now link them, and so are a lot of the neocon backers. And again, for the neocons that say go in there and finish the job, number one, they can't define what finishing the job in Iran actually means, because most of them have never served a day, or they just want us involved in this thing endlessly and they won't just come out and say it. So they like that right. slogan a lot more.
No, that's key. That's key. They say, yeah. They'll even say they're anti-war. They'll say, hey, but it's not a war yet. Joe, in your experience, you've done like 11 or 12 combat deployments, of course, special forces operator. What does that mean when you hear that? What do you think? What do you say?
I mean, I've always said, like, please explain to me how that works. If you say finish the job, come up with a plan, tell me how that works. Number one, how we're going to do it and what it accomplishes at the end. Even if these guys got what they wanted, if the entire regime fell today inside of Iran, that would be an absolute disaster. And I don't say it as a fan of the revolutionary Islamic Republican Guard inside of Iran. I say that just in terms of just the facts on the ground. You have a country of 90 million people, multiple different ethnic groups, awash with weapons and war right now. If that government did fall, it would be Libya on steroids. That's directly connected to Europe. You'd have a massive migration issues. You'd have blowback terrorism issues. It would be an absolute nightmare and a disaster. So none of this is very well thought through. The Israelis have thought this through, and the Israelis have deployed their very, very powerful lobby here in America to make the case that we need to continue to try to destabilize and put Iran into a state of chaos, because the Israelis actually thrive in chaos. They think as long as their rivals and their enemies are in a chaotic state, then they can't consolidate power and they can't come pose a threat to them. That's Israeli doctrine. That's not American doctrine. We're very much against that. And again, this all goes back to just the fundamental question. Like, if any of this happens, what is in it for the United States of America? We heard the whole nonsense in the Iraq war. Like, oh, it's going to be a great deal for America. We're going to get the oil. Like, none of that ever happened. Trump's trying to make that happen right now, kind of. But based on what's taking place, the way that the war has now expanded into Iraq and just Iraqi domestic politics, I don't think that's going to happen there either. But none of this benefits the American people. And this is at a time when most people have a hard time filling up a full tank of gas and paying for groceries. So this war is not in our best interest. Expanding the war is not in our best interest. And for the president to think about anything else and to listen to people that are explaining to him, like, you know, all these complicated plans for how we finish the job and how this is really some sort of a checkmate on China, et cetera, he needs to tune those people out, and he needs to listen to Donald Trump in 2016 when he spoke plainly and clearly about what was in the best interest for the American people. And he starts thinking that way, I think he could still save this entire situation, but I fear he's not.
Yeah, when you love somebody and they're drinking themselves to death, you tell them to stop drinking. You don't tell them their liver has magical powers and they can fly to the moon. And that's kind of the situation that I think that we're in now. And here's the thing. People, he himself, Trump has come after us and attacked us personally. It's called my father fried and low IQ, among other things. The reality is, do you want people to tell you the truth or do you want people to lie to you? And ultimately, they can lie to you. It can feel good. It doesn't feel good to the families of the American soldiers that die overseas. And there is no explanation. There is no proof that you can give to say, oh, well, it is what it is. It's a war of choice. The strait wasn't closed. before February 28th. There weren't missiles flying back and forth. We initiated that, and we got to pull out now. I think this is also key. I want to bring it up, and I just want to get your take on it because it seems to be unclear, but maybe you've heard more. Of course, I have way better sources than I could hope to have. Egypt downplays drone strike as fears grow for Suez Canal. It was reported last night, this is July 30th, this is written, that an explosion occurred aboard two gas tankers at the port. Reuters said this is a drone attack. Well, the New York Times this morning quoted two Iranian officials who said the strike was intended to demonstrate that if Iran chooses to escalate the situation, this is key, global energy supplies and shipping could be hit much harder. So now we've got one choke point, Strait of Hormuz, two choke points, Strait of Hormuz, Bab el-Mandeb, now three potentially with the Suez Canal. Joe, what's your take on this?
Yeah, this is another case where it's very easy for the Iranians to inflict a lot of pain with very little resources. The Iranians have geography working out in their advantage. Obviously, the Strait of Hormuz is in their backyard. They have powerful allies they've invested in with the Houthis and the Bab el-Mandeb. And so now, in powerful allies in Iran, powerful allies of Hezbollah. So right now, in order to basically continue to frustrate and choke off the supply of energy to the world, they just need to keep up the pressure in the Straits of Hormuz, which is actually fairly simple for them to do with drones and ballistic missiles. Bab el-Mandeb, they've got their friends, the Houthis, that are doing that right now, and then pushing out into the Suez Canal. It's just a matter of them either launching from, you know, their home soil, which they're more than capable of doing, or having the Houthis do it for them, or having the Iraqi militias do it for them, or having Hezbollah do it for them. And so what the Iranians are trying to do right now, I think, is two things. They're trying to chip away at the supply of world energy, because that's going to hurt all the countries that are supporting the coalition that's supporting us against them. But also, they are trying to fragment our relationship with all the different Sunni Arab states there in the Middle East. They're trying to basically say it's not worth your while to be directly tied to the Americans. If you are directly tied to the Americans, we are going to inflict pain upon you. And right now, what's taking place in Iraq, we're seeing that in a very big way. Iraq is ran by the Shia majority there, many of whom have close ties to the Iranian government. The Iraqis are caught in between. You know, Zaidi, the prime minister, was in Washington, D.C., meeting with President Trump, and then he went to Tehran. So he's very much trying to, you know, make sure his country doesn't get dragged and sucked into this. The Iranians had their proxies start doing strikes into Saudi Arabia, knowing that we would respond. So us and the Saudis then responded. And so now you have Americans and Saudis, Sunni Saudis, killing Shia militiamen in Iraq. So that's another way that they can start chipping away at the alliance that we have with Iraq. There's a lot of other dynamics there at play, but basically the Iranians are trying to inflict a cost on all of our allies within the region. And if you look at Kuwait, if you look at Bahrain, you look at, to a certain extent, Qatar as well, a lot of the countries that have been very closely aligned with us, Jordan most recently, the countries that have been the most closely aligned with us are starting to feel a lot of pain, and they're going to start feeling a lot of internal pressure, their leaders are, from their people, from their parliaments, to say, hey, maybe we need to tell the Americans, like, hey, we love you, but you can't base here, and you most certainly can't launch attacks here against Iran, because it's really just not worth it anymore for us. Because if they keep hitting along the Red Sea, they keep hitting the Suez Canal, or even just occasionally doing it, that frustrates that shipping and makes the insurance premiums shoot up. That takes away a good deal of the money that the Egyptians receive, because the Egyptians, they have tourism, they have some energy, but the Suez Canal is a huge moneymaker for them. They're going to start losing money because of what the Houthis are doing further south down the Red Sea. But an occasional drone or an occasional attack on any of those ports on the Med side, that's going to take away a lot of the Egyptian government's revenue as well. So this is the Iranian strategy, and they don't need a lot of resources basically to continue to inflict pain upon us. This is where time is very much on the Iranian side, and it's not on our side at all.
Right. Let's just look out, because months, years plus into the future, ultimately people that support these operations, if you ask them, hey, you say, hey, point to a calendar for me if you could. What day is this going to end? You know, whereabouts? And, you know, just tell me like the gradual recovery of the oil market, the fertilizer, all the supplies and goods that flow through these vital waterways that are choked off. You know, how long it's going to take us to rebuild our bases, rebuild our capability in the region with the radar and all of that. And they're not going to be able to give you a timeline, because their position is it has to continue forever. Like, that's what they have to defend, right? If you're defending the operations right now, you have to say that we're able to do this in the region forever. I think it was demonstrated before this happened just by the will of the American people, Trump winning a referendum against the Iraq war in 2016, that Americans were done with this sunk cost fallacy. It's like the last day I was in the casino at Vegas, I was staying at a hotel Jake Shields put me in. I had like $300. And I was like, I didn't gamble the whole time I was here. And then I lost all the money. But you don't stay in the casino and go back over and over and over again and take a mortgage out on your house because, you know, this time the lucky Chinese dragon is going to spin on the wheel and give you what you want. It just doesn't work that way. What do you say about kind of the sunk cost fallacy, all this?
I mean, that's what this is. And this should have been our lesson, the lesson that we learned from the war on terror. But then, you know, also the lesson we should have learned from the Vietnam War is that, like, it doesn't get better if you keep gambling. You can't drink yourself sober, whatever analogy you want to use. The fact that you have invested a ton of resources, a ton of lives into a certain problem, if you're not getting the result that you want, that doesn't mean you double down. That does not mean that more resources, more bombing campaigns, more troops, another surge, finishing the job, air quotes, like none of that is going to work. We have enough data to support that. Now, the case can be made, do we try something different? I would even say the way that we're fighting this war right now, if I was in support of us fighting this war and us actually going after and taking down the Iranian regime, I would basically have the same advice that I have right now. We should get out of the region. Why are we running low on interceptors? If those reports are true, I don't know. But if we're running low on interceptors, that's because we've been firing an exorbitant amount of interceptors, trying to defend bases that are getting hammered, bases that we can't put soldiers at anymore, bases that we can't really launch significant attacks from anymore. So what are we doing? Just the thing is, we get so stuck in this loop where we can't give up any ground, we can't retreat, because then we're going to say, oh, the Iranians are going to claim that they pushed us out of the region.
They have
us
hostage.
A major victory for them.
They have us hostage, not the other way around. It's like, yeah, we got them right.
Precisely.
Where we got them right where we want them. We're tied up in a chair, essentially, right in front of them.
Exactly. And we're burning through really precious munitions. We've also burned through precious lives defending these bases that may have served a purpose at one point in time, but now they don't. I mean, there's a basic principle in, you know, any kind of infantry tactics. If you can't shoot from where you're at, you have to maneuver and move positions. And that's essentially where we're at right now with our bases. But we've got our, you know, basically concrete around our feet, and we say that we can't leave these bases, but that's all self-imposed. We could leave these bases. We could get our troops out of the region. We could get our vessels, you know, away from the Straits of Hormuz and try a different tactic, but we just refuse to do that. And that is the sunk cost fallacy. That is the gambler's fallacy. And look, CENTCOM, the Central Command, they have been notorious for this. It didn't surprise me at all to see the report where Cooper said, you know, hey boss, I just need 15 more days of another bombing campaign. I mean, CENTCOM commanders for decades now have said, I need one more troop surge. I need one more big push into, you know, this city or that city, and we'll turn the tide in Iraq. We'll turn the tide in Afghanistan. It's the exact same thing that we're seeing here right now. We have got to break free from that. We have enough knowledge in the U.S. government that we should not be making these same mistakes all over again.
Yeah, I think Colin Powell said not to make a Air Force General Chief of Staff because you need a soldier on the ground, you need that type of experience. And when people think you can just do a bombing campaign and win, bombing campaigns didn't win World War II. Like, that's just reality, right? It was men on the ground that won World War II. And when people like to draw these comparisons, like, we have space age weapons and they're cavemen and they can't do anything. Well, that's not true. Sure, we have space age weapons. We have tons of stuff. They have the Shahid, and the Shahid costs 15 G's. It doesn't cost $4 million. And that asymmetry, that advantage they have when it comes to how much their stuff costs versus ours, that's enough to keep them in a fight that long term we can't wage. And I think the reality, the facts on the ground are right there. In closing, Joe Kent, what do you want people to know about the sadly coming escalation and what they should be prepared to see?
Look, I think it's now is a time. If you supported President Trump before, I think it's a time to get very, very vocal. I think we need to be as vocal as we can on social media platforms like this, but also calling your senators, calling your congressmen, calling the White House switchboard, and just telling them to get out of this situation, get our troops out of the region, and say that you ended the war. That's going to provide the political space where President Trump feels comfortable that he can actually say that. And the voices that say, thank you for getting us out of this war, will outweigh the voices that will criticize him and, you know, say he cowered or say we lost or that type of stuff. So I think the more that President Trump hears that people just want him to pull out of this war and he sees that can be a political win, I think that's the most important thing, because if we say that, oh, you know, Trump, you broke this, now you got to fix it, all he's going to do is get a menu of options from CENTCOM, from the Pentagon, that are going to say, you know, more bombing campaigns. And that's how you slowly slide into putting boots on the ground, because the bombing campaigns just simply, they're not going to work. They're going to be spectacular. They're going to make for great highlight footage. We're going to be able to go say we bombed, you know, X, Y, and Z different things. But then at some point, his generals are going to come to him and say, hey, like, if you want to keep doing this, we're actually going to have to take ground. And then we're going to take major losses, and then we are going to be locked into this thing. He's got a narrow window. It's tragic that we lost those troops, but we fired back. We took our retaliation. He's got a window right now where he could end this thing. This is as good of a time as I think he's going to get. If he doesn't take advantage of this window right now to get our troops out, we're going to be locked into further escalation. He needs to start listening to different people. You know, you talked about the intelligence picture. Unfortunately, he just hasn't been listening to the intelligence picture. Our intelligence picture as to what the Iranians would do, it's been pretty accurate for the entire time that I was in the administration. The president, unfortunately, just chose to listen to a lot of the pundits, a lot of the talking heads, and a lot of the neocons who hated his guts before this war, who got him into this war. He needs to tune them out. He needs to bring in other voices, but just have the moral courage and the political strength to pull all of our troops out of the region.
Powerful intel. Thank you for your time. Joe Kent, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after these messages.
New grape flavor bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these grape gummies. Get yours now.
The all-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby.
The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby.
TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. Well, the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10, but now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine Colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key C minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals, it is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
We want a positive future. We want to be able to have children. We want to be able to have land, have homes, have farm animals, have friends and family that we love and hold very dearly and cherish so much. But the reality is famine. The reality is global war. The reality is technocracy. The reality is mass migration. Here's the thing. If you're awake to that, if you're awake to the problem, just like we talked about with Joe Kent with the alcoholic analogy, then you're able to recover from it. But as long as you continue to live in the delusion and to, eat the Tic Tacs that the system gives you, you will never truly be able to make progress. And here's the thing. It is a wonderful thing to have disagreements, to debate things, but you cannot deny reality. And the reality is we are at full and total war. It's not just a war with missiles and drones and people in the Middle East. It's not just a war against Russia and Ukraine, a proxy war, the West versus Eurasia, Russia, China, you name it. It's not just the South China Sea. It is also the mass influx and inflow of third world populations that are from these destabilized and destroyed regions in the global South that are a direct consequence of the wars that we fight in large part for greater Israel. So that is the key. That is the thing to realize. Now, of course, not all the mass migration is a result of that. Of course, we've covered George Soros. It's literally before I was alive. He is a huge part of that, as well as the leftist NGOs, USAID in the past. It's just been reformed to a new organization and many other. And we're going to go to a report from my father talking about the conquering, the taking over of Spain. If we can go back to the video really quick before we go to the report, I just want to show people, okay? This is not the families. It's not the starving grandmother with the children. These are young men in their 20s, their 30s. These are combat age men. These are dudes coming over to conquest. They are coming over on a crusade. They are coming over on a takeover mission, and they are going to subsume Europe and take it over because they come from a region that is so destroyed and so destabilized, they don't know if they're going to get food or water the next day. You know what happens when you give those people welfare and resources? They have about a dozen kids. Okay, and this isn't something as to where it's like, oh, the Europeans don't have children anymore and their birth rate is so much higher. It's literally all because of the society they come from versus the society that we live in. Okay, we live in the lap of luxury. We live in a world where basically everybody, well, not in America, but in the West and Europe, a lot of these people are literate. A lot of these people are educated. A lot of these people are used to a high standard of living combined with civil rights. Ain't no civil rights in Bangladesh. Ain't no civil rights in Singapore. Ain't no civil rights in Sudan. Ain't no civil rights in Somalia. They just come over here and it's literally like getting transported to heaven on earth. They have about 12 kids with the government's help, and then they implement their own culture, their own religion, because why would they assimilate? They never had to. They never could. So go ahead and play my father's report about the takeover of Spain.
Globalist controlled replacement migration directed by the UN has gone into high gear. There's over 30 million Muslims and other invaders out of the Middle East and North Africa already in Europe destroying it. And now over 3 million military aged men in the last 5 years have come into Spain alone. And the new communist government announced this year that they're going to let unlimited numbers come in. Anybody that gets there gets free welfare, even more than citizens, everything paid for. We'll up to 50% unemployment for those under 30 in Spain. They are collapsing the country by design. And posted in the same post, you see footage of what was just landing yesterday, and more videos are coming in today, and they are landing, and they are doing throat-slitting signs. They're screaming and yelling. They have no possessions other than debit cards the UN gives them, the NGOs, the Soros operations, Catholic charities, Jewish charities, the same one that Mayorkas used to run, same NGOs that flooded us are flooding Europe, and the Spanish government has said the doors are open. And once again, into Spain, they flood the rest of Europe. Remember, the Muslims conquered Spain for over 500 years, and that started the Crusades to kick them out. So this is globalist, UN, communist, BlackRock-funded systems allied with the Islamic globalist third world invasion. Unbelievable. And it's just going to get worse and worse until Europe totally collapses. Germany shut down their last nuclear reactors, shut down all their coal power plants. Mercedes can't even get energy to build cars. The U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipeline that supplied half of Europe's gas, or 45% of it. I mean, this is economic warfare against us all.
Just go ahead and pause it right there.
We're somewhat insulated here in the U.S.
Just go ahead and pause it right there. We'll go back to it. Here's the thing. To all my Muzzy-hating, hell yeah, bomb Iran, bomb Middle East, kill them all. To all the people out there that feel that way, you actually want these migrants over here. You're rooting for them to come. That's what you support with your foreign policy. And that's, oh, that's not true. I deny that. I hate the migrants. I don't want them in my country. Well, you support the wars that lead to destabilization, mass famine in their countries, and then they come to the West. It's called problem reaction solution. You can't ignore it. You can't deny it. There it is on tape. Caught on tape. Problem reaction solution right there. That's your mass migration. That's your consequence of famine. That's your consequence of war. That's your consequence of general destabilization that allows for those NGOs and leftist groups to do things like this under cover of night, under cover of darkness, ultimately under the cover of blood. Because when there's 1.5 million dead people in the Ukraine-Russia war, when there's thousands of dead people and dozens of dead American soldiers in the Iran war, people pay more attention to that than they do of hordes of military-age men coming into their country. Do you see the wives? Do you see the children? Do you see Nana on bended knee? No, you do not. You see guys looking like they could be in uniform tomorrow. And they probably will be. This is the classic Rome scenario. We're probably going to do this as well. Michael Yon, Mike Adams, Matt Bracken talk about this. The idea that our military would be of native stock for much longer is very, very ridiculous because, hey, these elite authoritarian governments that want to track, trace, and control us, they can just get Muhammad, Abdul, and Ganesh to do it just fine. And that'll be great. It'll be liberal, and everyone will sign off on it. And the 90-year-old boomers will pat themselves on the back, and you know, then they'll probably get strangled by the Haitian orderly or something at the nursing home. It is what it is. It's a beautiful system. We are the world, right? We are the world. Keep playing it. Play the footage of the people running around. We are the world. We are the children. We are the military-age men who come to kill you. We are invading your country. You will speak Arabic. You will speak Pakistani. It is time to be liberal. Liberal, liberal. It is time to be liberal. And that's literally where we are. I'm not joking. It's just like the people that did like the we're going to get your children thing. And of course, like we're going to vaccinate you thing, like the Dr. Fauci Hitler worship songs and all of that. They need to write the songs about the mass migration. And I'm calling for people on the right to do that right now, because that's what happens when you support these wars. This is what you support. My little migrant buddies from all the wars that I support, they're coming to be my friend and rape my wife. And that's where we are. So I see my dad on the phone there. What's going on there? Crew, can you tell me what's up there? Maybe he wants to join us. All right, we're going to be joined by my dad shortly. It's just key to point this out. Day over day over day, this has not just started happening. This has happened for decades, and we got our own version of this on our southern border, okay? I want you to keep in mind, Joe Biden immediately told people, when I am president, immediately surge the border. It is widely reported that over 20 million people came here, many of them not from Mexico, not from Latin America, not from South America, but from the Middle East, from Africa, from Asia, from Eurasia, from West Asia, from places like where these people are coming from. And it's literally like dealing with Martians. All right. A Mexican wears a sombrero, wants to do some work, whatever. Right. Catholic, Christian background. This is like unheard of stuff that you've never seen before. It's coming for you in your backyard right now. And anyone that denies it denies the societal-wide program. So we're being joined by my father, Alex Jones. Dad, how are you doing?
Rex, I just wanted to give people some background here, and we can take this clip from me live on the show and add a year ago and 6 months ago, the president, the communist leader of Spain said, we're legalizing 3 million North African, mainly Muslims, military age men, 90%+ commit mass crime. We're legalizing them, and anybody else that can get here is going to be legal from here on out. So literally hundreds of thousands a month are hitting. This all happened just yesterday and is ongoing today. We'll play the Fox News cast in a minute. But I noticed when I shot a report about this earlier, I was flooded with bots on X saying, I'm making it up. Show my proof. This is AI. This is not real. Spain was invaded by the Moors, same people out of North Africa, conquered for 500 plus years. They took over 2 million women as slaves, sex slaves. La Reconquista took hundreds of years to retake Spain. Then it expanded into the Middle East. The Crusades came out of the La Reconquista, the reconquering of Spain. So, again, this is the left literally telling us none of this is happening when they're running the actual invasion. These are all military-age men. They are literally there to rape and kill and do whatever they want. They're all signed up for welfare. The Spanish government says that they're all legal. They want to replace the Spanish with these people, that these are better. This is what the left votes for. This is who they are. And this is the reality of what we are facing. So I want to play this Fox newscast with the same NGOs running this, are the same NGOs running this around the world, running the attacks and the invasion that we're witnessing here as well. So this is what we're facing. This is the reality. Face it. This is the globalist attack. This is one of the main ways the UN said they'd use migration flows. The UN said that they would use these other systems to do this over and over and over and over again. And so this is where we are right now in the year 2026, and people just need to get with the program and realize this is happening and just get out of their denial. They said we'll use migrant flows, viruses, and wars to do it, collapse the world economy, bring in the central bank digital currencies. That's the plan for the entire West. We need Crusades 2.0 just to secure our republics and kick these people out now. Here's the Fox newscast, and then we'll take this report, and we'll put in the Spanish government admitting this invasion plan, and the rest of them posted to X and Rumble, and then you, the Paul Revere's, will share it. Here's the Fox News report. Back to you, Rex.
Thank you, Dad.
Really wild video here. Chaos at the border of Spain's North African enclave in Morocco. This is a city called Ceuta. You're watching as thousands of migrants break through the fence and completely overwhelm the border police there. Video showing huge groups of people, mostly young military age guys, cramming into inflatable tubes or arriving on shore another way, some of them wading in the water as they break through the gates to get to the other side. Sandra, this is reminiscent of kind of what we saw during the open border during the Biden administration through 2021, 2024, kind of similar to what we saw in Del Rio back in 2021. The socialist agenda, their platform literally says they want to abolish borders, abolish immigration enforcement, have complete freedom of movement. This is what it looks like in another country if they get what they want. Notice there is no resistance from the government whatsoever. These people are coming in without any obstruction. And if people don't know, Spain has a very left-wing government. Earlier this year, they did a big amnesty program for over 1 million illegal immigrants living in the country. They had 1.3 million illegal immigrants apply for that amnesty program between April and June. So that's what we call a pull factor, Sandra. They're looking for something like that. They know if they can just get their foot in the country, maybe someday that left-wing government will do another amnesty program. And you were just reading some of the wires. The locals want an emergency declaration. It sounds like
the ministry is saying no. They will not deploy military to the border.
Apparently they don't think this is an emergency. I mean, look at this. This is a total free-for-all.
It does feel like we are looking at a few years ago when you're reporting at the border here in the United States. This is happening right now. This story is breaking right now. And you're not just talking about 100,000 of migrants are pouring over the borders as we speak.
Yeah, and again, I mean, just look here. Do you see any women or children? I mean, most people would call these folks so-called asylum seekers. These are all young guys just flooding into the country and overwhelming what, if any, border there is. It looks like there's just kind of a small barbed wire fence or something like that. But you can see the Spanish government has caught completely off guard here, and you have thousands of these men. I mean, it literally looks like you often hear the word invasion, but it literally looks like one here. Look at that. I mean, you see the border fence there. They're all just going around it. And again,
The head of Spain's civil guard is calling this absolute chaos. In a brand new interview, he said, quote, it's not possible to give precise numbers, but there are thousands of migrants crossing right now. He added that the border has totally collapsed. Quote, unquote.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it. And for folks who don't know where this is a small Spanish city, autonomous in North Africa. It's actually in Morocco, but it does have Spanish autonomy. It's called Ceuta. So this isn't on the mainland of Spain. But these images, we've been looking at them on social media all morning. It's just stark to see that there is no resistance whatsoever. I mean, at least in Del Rio back in 2021, when those 20,000 Haitians were crossing the river, similar images to this, you had some border patrol there. You had Texas DPS there trying to stop them. Here in Spain, there is absolutely nothing stopping these folks from wading ashore and climbing the fences. And Sandra, look at that in the background. I mean, there are thousands upon thousands of these men just flooding the country.
Yeah. Yeah, so they say, oh, it looks like an invasion. It looks like one. It is one. Like, you have to be objectively real with what you're seeing and what people are saying there. Obviously, those men are not there to, you know, find a loaf of bread for their children that are right behind them or for their nana that's right there. They're there to take over. And you know what? They have the right to do that because nobody's stopping them. Look, the police are holding open the gate. Click on that. Let's make that a little bit bigger, please. The police are holding the gate open for the invading migrants. And once you reach this level in your society, look at them in their uniforms. Oh, I bet you said something about COVID. They threw you in jail. Oh, I bet. Well, maybe not Spain because they're pretty critical of Israel, but in other EU nations where they do the same thing. You talk about the migrants, they put you in jail. Talk about Israel, they put you in jail. But they'll open the door for people that have paid nothing into your country, have no tie to your country, no historical claim to be there. And they will say, not only do they have the same rights as you, they have more rights than you. They're better people than you because they've had to suffer more. And it's your fault, white person, that they've had to suffer more. It's not the fault of the evil world Jewry or the world government or the transnational capital that runs everything. It's certainly not. It's your fault. It's your fault because these are your nations and they did somehow slavery or something. So you're bad. Let's just leave at the door the fact that these are literally the people from North Africa, the Arab people that pioneered and ran the slave trade. All right. And like my dad just said, conquered Spain for 400 years. This is the same thing. Talk about Michael Yon. Really same thing. Talk about with Joe Kent. The historical patterns, the cycles, they just happen over and over and over again. And there seems to be no stopping them, even in this information age where, hey, everybody watching this right now knows what I'm saying is true and they're able to follow it. But people in these countries, this is why we have to appreciate the First Amendment here in America, they truly do not know. They have been so co-opted, so cowed, so propagandized. They've been taught that this is normal. And hey, in one to two generations, those countries won't exist anymore. Do we want the same fate for ourselves here in America? Absolutely not. The migrant problem under Joe Biden, completely outrageous. Over 20 million people came here, surged the border. The government will never pull work permits, pull their ability to buy a car, pull their ability to get a mortgage, buy a house, do whatever. They'll never touch any of that because, as Trump says, he's got friends in big ag and friends in hospitality. And just like the Epstein files, when Trump's friends are going to get hurt, he doesn't actually do the thing he promised to do. And I'm going to be talking to Andrew Wilson, who kind of hangs his hat on the fact that, hey, you know, we're at net negative migration. I'll kind of take that as a trade for the Iran war. That's not a war. I think that's a bit of a ridiculous position. We're going to get into that and so much more coming up. I did a stream with him 7 weeks into the war. Some predictions, I believe, have aged like milk, but I'd like to see where he actually stands. And I want to give him full credit. Of course, accomplished debater. You may have seen him. Definitely have seen him across the internet. He'll be joining me in the next hour to discuss all things Iran war, his positions, my positions, where we stand. Now, before we get into all that, I do want to remind you, this is a 100% viewer, listener, created, supported, funded broadcast. We only stay on air when you go to thealexjonesstore.com and also 1776.rx.com to get either the amazing ivermectin, fimbendazole, or the amazing supplements, apparel, t-shirts, knives, water filtration, survival gear, combat gear that we have available at thealexjonesstore.com. If you have loved our turmeric, phenomenal antioxidant support over the years, you name it, we now have it in a tincture form. This is very cool. It's available for you at a big discount right now. Of course, we've got the Methylene Blue. This is always available for you. Over 80% reorder rate. Incredibly popular stuff. We've got the t-shirts. We've got the Nixon apparel. Look at that right there. Ultimate turmeric with ginger root and black pepper. That's what you want. Available at thealexjonesstore.com. We've also got that phenomenal shower head water filter. Filters out over 99% of chlorine and over 94% of lead. You want to get that for your house, your family. Very important. You want to be around clean water, not dirty water. And we live in such a toxic environment. That's why we sell supplements and other things that can help attenuate those things and help improve your life. We believe in a 360 win. We're not going to ask you for things without giving you something back. That's called, you know, law of equivalent exchange. We want you to get high quality supplements, apparel, t-shirts, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. And we also want you to get phenomenal products from 1776.rx, which is also very important. Bigly is very, very cool. Not only are they a supplement compounder, not only do they do apparel, they are also getting into the online compounding and stuff like that, which is available at 1776.health. Of course, they have nurse practitioners and doctors there ready to talk to you should you need ivermectin or fenbendazole. That really is the place to get it if you do want to support this operation, which is really important. We got a crew here. We got a big office. We got big guests. We got big streams. It is a phenomenal 4-hour show, literally 6 days a week, that my dad does for you. I'm very appreciative to be here in his stead while he's on vacation, and he's having a good time also putting out hard-hitting reports and doing the broadcast every single day. But in order for all of us to remain functional and stay in the fight, we do need you to support our sponsors. Support Bigly. Go to 1776rx.health. Very important to check out that ivermectin and fenbendazole if you are interested in that. We got about 5 minutes left. I just want to cover this really quick because people deny history, and this is just reality. Why have so many neo-Nazis rallied to Ukraine's cause? So go ahead and just do overhead shot, please. I thought it was key, and I was going to get to it. He kind of beat me to the jump on it. When my dad was interviewing Michael Yon, and they were talking about this stuff, and they were talking about the Canadian, the Canadian Parliament gave a standing ovation to this man that apparently fought the Russians during World War II. And of course, we all know what that means, when in reality, this guy was a member of a Ukrainian-created division of the Waffen-SS. All right, literally committing mass murder for Hitler, killing Poles and Ukrainians in the region of Bandera, right? And Zelensky and Stephen Trudeau put a medal around his neck and call him a good boy and say a good person, and they clap for him like 5 times. It kind of reminds me of when Netanyahu comes to visit and we give him a standing ovation. It's a bit insane, macabre, and ridiculous. So this is a reality. This has been talked about since even before 2014. This is a known history of this country. And this is my key point just at the end of the segment here. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. And drawing the line between the two is a bit ridiculous, a bit absurd. And I'll quote my president when it comes to this. You think we're so innocent? That's what Trump says. You think we're so innocent. So whenever we talk about these wars, these conflicts, these engagements, and we talk about it from a moral perspective, right? Like there's some moral reason to be at combat, some moral reason to be at war. We are always allied with the devil, right? Because no one's interests are pure. When we talk about great powers, everyone has to do something in order to make their existing line of governance stick. And our existing line of governments is murder and terrorism across the wider world with our over 700 military bases. And we tend to get in bed with the worst people that either want to genocide and build greater Israel or want to genocide the ethnic Russians and have the Azov Battalion Banderite version of Ukraine. So we're going to be getting into all of that coming up very, very soon. I want to plug myself here. This is going to be a very, very good stream. It already has been. Michael Yon. And of course, Joe Kent Ron before about to be joined by Andrew Wilson of The Crucible, very well-known online debater as well. And, just all around internet personality and guy. You've definitely seen him before. I do want to tell you it's Rex Jones News with the Z. That's Rex Jones News with the Z. If you want to find me on X or on Instagram, that's available for you. I do a show called Gray Area Talks. That's every Thursday and Sunday. That's for me and Andrew. Did our first thing. And also do New American Journal. In the morning, I got a link tree right there. If you want to click on that, a link tree right there. And you can go to New American Journal and you can follow that on Rumble. I'm live 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. literally every single day. I really enjoy going live for you guys. And even this week when I've been hosting in the studio here, I have been having some buddies of mine, of course, local comedian Jack Hemphill and others. I've been having them host for me. So we're trying to do the network TV thing, trying to build a network, build a site. I'm live between 3 to 6 hours a day. I got a 31-hour week, and I really am appreciative of everyone that's here for this. It's going to be very, very fun. So I'll see you after the break with more news, more information. We do want to cover Sam Altman. We do want to cover AOC. We have more Ilhan Omar news, which you got to cover Ilhan Omar. I got to talk about her. So I will be talking about her at some point in the broadcast. Maybe Harrison will later on in the show, because we do want to see that covered. And I do want to remind you one last time, thealexjonesstore.com is the place to go if you want to support what we do here. And if you want to find that right there, that's thealexjonesstore.com. I will see you after the break and after these messages with Andrew Wilson. Take care. Peace out. See you soon.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the program. Third hour of the Alex Jones Show. We're being joined by Andrew Wilson, very successful online debater, commentator, host of The Crucible. Me and Andrew had a stream about, I think it was 7 weeks into the conflict, where I believe like we disagree with each other's position on whether this is a war or not a war. So I want to define terms. I want to define what we're talking about here. I don't want to speak for you, Andrew. I want you to speak for yourself. Where do you stand now into the conflict 6 months?
I'm fine calling it a war. I don't think that's a problem. It definitely is not boding well for the Trump administration. That's for sure, going on 6 months with no real resolution in sight. So I don't think that it was a great idea for his administration to do.
Right. And this is the frustration that I had initially. Forget just being a young person, forget just being 23 for a second and thinking about the prospect of us being involved in another like ground war in the Middle East. It seemed like something that could never be extricated from. And like, what is, or I don't want to speak for you, what's your belief on the reality of this being like winnable per se?
There's no clear objective for what winning is. And so I'm not sure what we would even be winning. If you go into a country and you attack them, you need to kill everybody until you have unconditional surrender. And short of that, you probably shouldn't be fighting a war at all.
That is
in fact the case. So I never thought it was a great idea for Trump to go in. My kind of red line with him is whether or not he does a ground campaign. I think if he does that, it'll be the ultimate disaster for his administration. I still think that support for Donald Trump as opposed to the alternative is still a much better proposition ultimately for the nation. But I understand the anti-war sentiment.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of the key disagreement that we have there, because I think we both agree now, 6 months into the conflict, that it is a war and all that, and that it's not boding well, as you said, for the Trump administration. I agree. Here's where I stand. If we back him relentlessly into the hilt, it shows that our coalition is weak because we don't care about what we put him in power to do. What do you think about
that? What's the alternative?
Well, I mean, if you don't hold him to account in 2026, we're going to have a period where they're not going to be able to pack the Supreme Court. They're not going to be able to do much of anything. But if the electorate shows this is unacceptable, then in 2028, we could have a real populist platform. That's the alternative.
I actually don't understand that position. How do we get to a populist platform from us giving up power? So one rule in politics, if you have power, you don't give it up ever. And the reason you don't want to do that is because the opposition will come in, undo everything that you've done, and reverse your policies. By the time you get power back again, all you're doing is undoing. It's just like an undoing after undoing after undoing.
Do you
want to consolidate
power
to the right, for sure.
Do you think are we in power right now? Like, who is us giving up power? Because the Republicans, they don't represent what we voted for, so I don't feel very in control.
Most Republicans do represent what you voted for. There's a few defectors you probably don't like, but overarchingly, Republicans have been fairly decent when it comes to things like migration, when it comes to trans issues and social issues, domestic
policy. But we're talking about the war.
They've been fairly decent.
But the war.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm looking at the totality of why it is that you don't want to give up power over a conflict you don't support.
All right, but they didn't do what we voted for or what I voted for because they didn't pass the War Powers Resolution. So they're failing on that front. That's a big problem.
Yeah, I'm certain that there's multiple policies that you would consider to be failures from the right or Republican Party. But that really doesn't have any bearing over whether or not, if you look at the totality of how it's going to be governed between the left or the right, it's going to be far superior under the right than the left. And so what I look at politically is I'm looking at political longevity. Who's the nation going to be better in the hands of ultimately? And it's going to be the right wing and it's going to be Republicans. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I've lived under Democrat rule. It's a nightmare. It's always a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare again. So while I agree with you in spirit that there's many things here that we have disagreements with, we need to rein our party back in and tell them no war, things like this, that has no bearing ultimately on who I want to see governing.
We will talk about that when we come back. Andrew Wilson, The Crucible, Rex Jones, Alex Jones Network. See you soon.
This shower filter slays 95% of the lead, 99% of the chlorine, and keeps that damn atrazine out of your water. Protect yourself. Don't let them turn you gay. Purify it now.
Mother, do you really want to shower with me? Do you want to clean everything? Oh, mother!
I'm not gay. You are.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
The Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
All right. We are back with Andrew Wilson for the remainder of the third hour. Andrew, I want to talk about the original stream that we did in the initial first 7 weeks of the war. I want to read a quote from before that, actually. Let me find that really quick. From the time with Owen. And I believe that when was the debate with Owen? When did that occur in timeline with the conflict?
I don't exactly remember. It was very early on.
All right. The crew will fact check that really quick. I'm going to read this quote. And this is in response to something we'll get into later in the next segment, which relates to our Epstein disagreement, right? So I want to say this in context. I'm not saying this is exclusively an Iranian war argument, but it does reference kind of your feelings towards the Iranian people. I'm going to read this. Not only that, I'll tell you something really interesting. I do know of a satanic type religion of pedophiles, and right this second, Trump is blowing them up. Right this second, as we speak, he blew up their leadership. The Ayatollah Khamenei instituted child marriage as young as 9 years old inside of Iran, and we're killing them overwhelmingly. You want to talk about pedophiles? Let's talk about pedophiles. Where are they at? I can tell you who are blowing up right now. Who are pedophiles? That would be Trump blowing up pedophiles. That's what he's doing currently. Is that the way you feel about all the civilian deaths in this war as well? What's your
No, take? What I was doing there was testing the logical consistency of the pedophile craze for Epstein. So the idea was from Owen's position was that the most important thing was to stop the pedophiles who are in government, who are eating children and all this shit. Right. So I said, look, if that's the case, if it's really just about pedophiles, then we can point out that there's another nation that's completely filled to the brim with them and we're blowing them up at the moment. It's just to test the logical consistency. It's not a position that is pro-war. It's just a position that's designed to test consistency.
So just to be clear, if it's purely like to test logic, you do not support bombing pedophiles in Iran?
No. Well, I don't support it. Let's just say like if we put it in a vacuum, if all the pedophiles in Iran died of a heart attack, I would support that. Mm. But if it's the case that I have to send United States soldiers over to blow them up, I'm not so sure that that's a great idea. No.
Okay. So that's what you meant when you said, I'm not an anti-war guy, but I'm not a pro-Iranian war guy.
Correct. I'm not anti-war.
Okay.
It just depends on what the war or the conflict is. So I'm an America firster. It's the case that I'm anti-Iranian war, sure, but I'm an America firster. So the idea is that there could be wars that America needs to engage in for its own interest. You would agree with me on that. It's just that this probably isn't one of them.
Yeah, but your opinion has changed because initially you didn't call it a war. Now you're calling it a war. So
well, at the time, I think that it fit the criteria of a conflict more than it did a war. And it was a very short conflict that led to what looked like possibly a ceasefire, but that fell apart. And it does look like it's becoming a hot war. Yeah.
Right. A regional conflict, a regional war. And like this is the reality. Like there's no brakes on this train. This is why it grinds my gears when people still support the president over this and say there's some reason to this. There's not. This is a COVID of choice in my view. Would you disagree with that?
Yeah. So I'm not supporting. Do you agree with me that we don't have to support every position of Donald Trump to still understand that he's the lesser of two evils here?
I think there's a hierarchy. I think when you do like the grand ultimate sin, I think it really counts against you. I think that's what he's done with the war, the peace president.
I don't think that that's the grand ultimate sin. The grand ultimate sin is yielding right wing power to progressive, insane lunatics. Okay. These people are lunatics. I've seen what they do when they're in power. Again, that I think is the ultimate sin. I think that, and by the way, I'm not even sure that having progressives in power would stop any foreign conflict. It hasn't before. Like what foreign conflict do they ever stop? I've never seen them stop any of them. I always see them get expanded under progressives. In fact, got expanded under Obama. Clinton bombed foreign nations. Every time a progressive is in power, I see them do this. So I don't even know that follows that voting in progressives is going to even stop any of the conflicts anyway. At least if we're in power and can apply some sort of pressure on Republicans and the Republican administration, I mean, that's superior to when if we had progressives in power, I think.
Is there any accountability for the Republican Party, or do they just get to avoid punishment forever for breaking their promises?
One of the problems we have in this nation, man, is that politics is a team sport. And we have universal suffrage, and so that's also a team sport. And so you want your team to win, and you have to have your team in power. You can't legislate. You can't do it. You have to have a majority in order to legislate correctly because the other side will stop you at every turn. It's not a matter of holding them accountable. I understand that. I get it. The question is like, are we going to give up power to progressives? And the answer for me is unequivocally no. Would I love it if we were able to hold more of these people responsible? Sure. Absolutely. But do I want progressives to govern as an exchange for that? I'm not so sure about that proposition. That seems like a bad prop to me.
I just think we've lost more than we've gained. Conservatively, let's just go with the initial 39-day of the war count. It's $113 billion. Look at our bases. Look at things destroyed. Look at munitions. Let's just call it another few billion, whatever we want to say. Look at the global energy crisis ramification for people at home. People are spending more money. Ultimately, you're looking at like a around a $200 billion price tag for, you know, 150 days or 6 months of war.
It's going to be more than that before it's done. Well,
absolutely. Absolutely. So how on, quote unquote, our side, quote unquote, the right, how is that not the ultimate sin? I'm going to put that back to
because,
you.
Because domestic policy is even more important than foreign policy is, significantly more important. And the domestic policy under Democrats is going to look like this. They're going to institute corporate tax increases immediately, which Trump tried to offset with tariffs, which is going to increase the amount that you pay for your goods significantly. They tried to say that Trump was doing that when he instituted tariffs. The opposite is true. When you up corporate taxes, who ends up paying the bill? It's the consumer. Not only that, they're going to roll back Roe v. Wade and the legislation that we have fervently fought for there. They're going to pack the court. These people are lunatics. They will. And by the way, right now we have net zero, net negative, actually, migration to the United States. And I guarantee you that that's not going to stay the case under progressive rule. So look, I get it. There's a foreign policy blunder that's going on and it really sucks. And I hope we can rein it in. But I'm telling you right now that the alternative of putting progressives in power is going to destroy the nation even further than it's been destroyed, significantly more. Right now you have who on the left? You have Mamdani. You have communists coming out of the east, which is where they've traditionally come from, moving their way out westward. You want these people in power? No, you don't. You don't want them in power. Even if it was the case that they reined in some of these wars, which I doubt. I doubt, but let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. They will still destroy you domestically.
They're handed the keys to the kingdom, though, when we have coffins come home draped in American flags. And I just, the whole narrative about Mamdani, he's in the Oval Office shaking hands with Donald Trump, hanging out. So the whole narrative, oh, the great communist enemy, the evil enemy, I just see these as different factions that want to destroy the country. Do you not see the Republicans as a different faction that wants to destroy?
No, I've never believed the ideal that this was a two-headed snake. With one single body. That's not the case. The case of the matter is that if you have universal suffrage, you're always going to be reduced to a single party. Even in places where they have rounds of voting like they do in the UK, it often comes down to just two parties, which are the two major parties. There's not much you can do because there's a couple of wedge issues that parties can build their platforms around that people will endlessly fight about. That is the truth of the world. The idea that Mamdani is going down and shaking hands with Trump means nothing. That's politics, man. That's how that works. That doesn't mean he doesn't hate him. That doesn't mean he's not smiling, waiting to put a knife in his back and in the back of the Republic, because they are. These people are psychopathic lunatics, and they're communists, and their entire ideology is the destruction of capitalist America. That's what they want more than anything.
Yeah, when America supports and props up genocides that Israel and Ukraine commit, and then people like Mamdani can run on being opposed to that, we hand them a free win.
Yeah, look, I agree with you that politically, this was a bad idea for Trump, that it's going to weaken his base support and already has, that it is the case that many of the right wingers are going to be extremely upset about this, and they are. I agree with all of that. There's nothing you're saying there which is untrue.
I know, but it wasn't your initial, this wasn't your initial position.
There's nothing here that you're saying, though, that also, or that I'm saying that's untrue either. Both things are true. It is true that his support is being eroded because of this conflict. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, but it's equally true that if we have progressives in power, our domestic policies are going to turn to absolute shinola and they are going to destroy us. Both things are true at the same time. So what's the pathway forward is what we're discussing, right?
Well, how do you hold
the idea is like, what do we do?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's all good. Who and how and what controls the Republican Party then?
Mostly donor money, donor class, NGOs, things like this. They're also beholden to constituency. So it's a coalition.
Yeah. Who would those people be? Who would the donors be? Who would the donor class be? Would that be people that support Greater Israel Project and are generating dead American bodies?
And Kufi and all sorts of different people. But
it doesn't sound like the voter, right?
Yeah, but the problem is like, that's a very one-dimensional aspect to look at. It's like, yes.
You can say Jews that. Why is that true?
Well, hang on. I'm going to tell you. Jews pump a lot of money into politics. There's no doubt about it. So does Israel. But on the other hand, so do most of the Arab nations. So do most foreign nations pump money into politics.
Are we fighting
right
a war for them?
Left.
Are we fighting a war for the Arab nations right now or for Israel?
No, that's beside the point, though.
No, who controls the party, Andrew? Who controls the party?
So it's not purely Jews who control the party.
I didn't say
it's
that.
It's a collection of NGOs that control both parties. They both have vested interests. It depends on which party and which platform you're looking at. If you're looking at the Democrat and Republican, the dialectic there, they're mostly held by huge donors, by NGOs, and their constituency and what their constituency wants. One thing both constituencies agree on is they want to move away from the Iraq conflict. But NGOs and donors on both sides may not want to do that. So yes, both parties are seized by NGOs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And also they have some sort of beholdenness to their own constituency. So it's a coalition of factors and not a single factor.
So if it's being run by donor money and not by the will of the people, the will of the voters, then how are we bad for wanting to hold them to account by doing the only thing we can do by not voting for them?
Yeah, that's not how's that going to help, though? Like, what is that going to do for you exactly?
Can I answer?
What does that do for you? Yeah. What does
gridlock
it do for
you? Gridlock, stagnation in Washington, D.C., perhaps a passing of the war powers resolution into the Iran conflict, impeachment charges for Trump for war crimes, blowing up the school.
Okay, so let's just assume that you get all of that. That's going to take a progressive majority. You agree with me there, right?
I don't think
so.
There's
no way you're
going
to get an impeachment.
I said gridlock.
You're not going to get an impeachment of Donald Trump without a progressive majority, dude. No way.
They can do an impeachment in the House and have it fail in the Senate. That happened before.
Well, then that's not a real impeachment, right? The question comes down to this. What do you get if progressives are in office? Tell me what I'm going to get. What do I get?
Probably not the Iran war.
What is me, the average?
Probably not the Iran war.
Okay, great. I know. I'm not asking what I don't get. I'm asking what I do get. What do I get?
Well, I told you, I consider that to be the supreme thing. You're going to make arguments. Are they going to pack the Supreme Court? No.
I don't get anything. So, okay, the conflict in Iran goes away, which it wasn't there for most of Trump's presidency, first and second.
But you can't say that. It's not going to go away, Andrew. That's an assertion of yours.
If the progressives are in charge, I'm saying, in this hypothetical, the progressives are in charge, the Iran war is gone now. Okay, they stop it for whatever they do. They put an end to it. Now what?
We have a 2028 where we have a healing of the country. We have a true battle for the soul of the nation. You don't believe in that. You believe in cucking and cowing to the Republican Party.
Like,
this is all I'm hearing
charge.
Right now.
Rex, mm-hmm. What do I get if they're in office, dude? Answer me. What do I get if progressives are in office, bro?
Well,
what do I get?
Massa on our plantations better than Massa on theirs. That's your entire argument. With the Republicans,
you're not
you
answering
get,
the
with
question.
The Republicans,
you're just
you
running.
Get war. With the Democrats, you get potentially more immigration.
Can you answer the question that I asked you to?
Potentially,
what do I
potentially
get?
More immigration. Potentially
not
more
just
immigration.
More immigration. I'm going to get increased taxes. I'm going to get a rollback of all of the social programs.
We're being taxed right now. The war's a tax on everyone, Andrew. The war's
a
tax on everybody. You completely discount every factor of the war that's hurting Americans right now, and you say, but the Democrat. You say, but the Democrat. That's your entire argument.
You're saying the Democrats will save us, Andrew.
That's not what I said.
I
want the war
to
end. World War III is happening right now. You support World War III. You say you don't, but you make justifications for it.
I support World War III.
Yes.
You support communists getting into office to save you from the evil Republicans because you can't rein in your own party.
Andrew, what happens when World War III truly breaks out and there's a ground invasion? You were wrong. 7 weeks into the war, you're wrong right now. What happens when that happens? Are you going to eat crow?
What do you mean? How am I wrong? I never said there would be a ground invasion.
You said it wasn't a war, man. You said it wasn't a war. It wasn't at the time.
It was a conflict
you
at the time.
You have it both ways. So when did it become a war? When did it become a war, Andrew?
I think that when it became a war was after the ceasefires failed. That's when I think it became a true war.
All right. So Trump disagrees with you. Trump says the four soldiers that just died didn't die in the Iran war. He says we're not at war. Do you support that position?
I disagree with Trump. Fantastic.
All right. So how do you hold him to account? If you disagree with the president, do you care? Is he your king?
So the thing that's funny is like we can go to our representatives. We can ask them to defund this. We can ask for many things from the representatives who are in control. Now that you have established what my view is, Rex, how are Democrats going to save us from anything, bro?
Tell me, please.
All right, mass starvation. Every single day, the Strait of Hormuz and Bubble Mendeb are shut. There's global famine, mass migration, human osmotic pressure. Michael Yon talks about it all the time. This war will generate 100 times the problems that you're kvetching about. That's the reality.
Well, first of all, hang on. You're still not answering what I'm asking you. How are Democrats, who you can't even guarantee
me will
stop this.
I'm not getting World War III. I'm not getting World War III, Andrew.
You can't even guarantee me that they'll stop World War III, bro. So just tell me, what do I get if they're in charge of the domestic policy of the United States besides completely fucked? What do I get?
Get no war. I'm going to keep saying it. Get no war.
Yeah, except you. Can you promise me when Democrats are in office, I get no war?
Well, you promised me it was a 7-week conflict and not a war, and then you change your mind.
Answer the question.
No,
you
get to have it both ways. You get to have your cake and eat it too, but then I have to respond to your hypothetical. If the Democrat win, they destroy the country because you say so. I don't agree with your assertion.
Yeah, they're going to.
I don't think they're going to destroy the country.
So then why not tell people to vote for Democrats? Tell them to vote for Democrats, Rex. Do it live right now on the Alex Jones program.
No, we're not going to be doing that. I'm not voting for my own destruction. Democrat, Republican, they are two wings on the same bird. You disagree with that? That is my position.
The most important thing is World War III, Rex. Tell people to vote for Democrats because they're going to save us. Do it.
Do not vote for Zionist Republicans that want to end your life and your family lineage forever by sending you off to war.
Why not tell them to vote for
Democrats? Don't put words in my mouth, Andrew. Don't put words in my mouth.
Why not? Why don't you tell them to vote for Democrats, Rex? Why not?
Because I disagree with that position.
Why not tell them?
I disagree with that position.
How do you disagree with the position? The most important thing is World War III and the Democrats are going to save us from it. Why wouldn't you vote them into office, Rex? Tell me.
I'm not showing up to the polls. I don't have to exist in your binary.
Okay, right. So I guess the most important thing isn't stopping World War III then because you can't even be bothered to show up to vote.
That
great
doesn't
consistent
follow.
Position.
That
Rex.
Doesn't make
consistent
sense.
Consistent position.
Andrew, you said it wasn't a war. Now you say it's a war. That's your consistency.
Yeah.
So
we
you can change your position. You can have your cake and eat it too, but I can't. That's basically your entire take on this from day one.
Rex, this whole thing is insane. First of all, when I said that at the time, we were 6 or 7 or 8 weeks into the conflict. Okay. Yes, of course, when the situation changes, my opinion
your
about the situation
your support generated the war.
It.
People like you that backed the Republicans, when Trump said 99% of Republicans supported the war, you're a part of that number. You emboldened his military action.
Did you vote for Trump?
Yes, twice.
Then you supported the war.
Wrong to believe in the lies of Donald Trump. Donald Trump lied to me. Hold on, Andrew. Donald Trump said no more neocon wars in the Middle East. Is this a neocon war in the Middle East?
That's the same thing he said to me. I voted for him, too.
And you're still
it's
a cuck.
Like, what do you want me to do?
You're still cucking for him. That's what
you're
this is.
You're cooking for Democrats, bro.
You're making excuses for the dear leader.
Me.
If you can't criticize your own side, it shows your coalition is weak. You have no coalition. You have no platform.
Criticize my
you
own
admit
size.
The
what
Republican
do you
Party is controlled by the donor class, but then you say to go vote
so
for
it. So are Democrats. So are Democrats.
I'm
so
proposing
becomes,
we break. I'm post-duopoly.
Oh, okay, great. What are you going to break in what? You're going to form a party in 2 years?
I'm 23. You're in your 50s or something. You'll be dead in like 30 years. I'll be here. I care about the nation, the future of this country in a way that you do not.
That's not going to save us from World War III that you have a party in 20 years, Rex.
No, we do it now.
What are you talking
about? We do it now. 2028.
This is insane.
You are holding.
No,
hold on.
You
are holding. You are holding to 2026. I'm holding to 2028. That is my entire position. We have somebody run.
You're not going to have a party. You're not going to have party by 2028. That's insane.
What was the Republican Party?
That's crazy.
In 2014, was the Republican Party the party of Trump or the party of Jeb Bush and Paul Ryan? What happened there?
It wasn't the party of Trump. Trump wasn't around.
So what happened there? So there's a complete change from, of course, Jeb Bush to Donald Trump, a complete change from pro to anti-war foreign policy because Donald Trump had a populist takeover of the Republican Party. How could we not have that again? You deny that. You say it's impossible.
Yeah. No. What I'm telling you is that you can't have a third party that's viable by 2028.
I didn't say third party. I said having a person run inside the Republican Party.
So then you want us to vote for Democrats now and then in 2028 vote for whoever the Republican nominee is?
Why not?
Because Rex,
because the Democrat going to censor me and throw me in jail. That doesn't follow.
You're giving up power. Oh, the Democrats are going to save us from World War III.
Yes.
That doesn't follow.
We need accountability, Andrew.
Then tell people right now if they're going to
say
how many pumps?
How many pumps? How many dead soldiers? How many? Uncle Sam's railing you right now. Is it going to be 19, 20, 21 pumps, 22? How many more deaths, Andrew, will you justify?
How many times do I have to say I don't support the war?
But you support Donald Trump, who's doing the war. That's the whole point of the argument.
I don't support Donald Trump.
Yes, you do. You support Donald Trump. You're telling people to vote for his party.
Rex, you can't cut me off in the middle of the sentence.
You've been cutting me off.
Get funny here, man, is like, I don't support Donald Trump's war in Iran. I do support him on domestic policy and the things that he's gotten done.
It's not a deal breaker for you.
Think for a second, not yet, unless there's a ground invasion. And I got to tell you, man, you're saying that there's going to be World War III and Democrats are going to save us. That's nuts. They're not going to save us from anything. And if you really believe that they were, why wouldn't you tell people to go vote for them then? Why?
2026, we're not voting. 2028, we're voting for somebody to take over the party just like Trump did. That's, respond to my position. That's my position.
I'm trying.
2026.
That's a stupid position.
Respond to it. Don't just say it's stupid. What happens? 2028, we take over the party.
Here, I'll help you out here. Okay, so here's what happens in 2026. You get obfuscation. If you get Democrats in, you get a lame duck. You're right that you got gridlock. But what Democrats will come out and say is they'll be like, look, the Republicans have completely failed you while they obstructed every bit of their agenda. That's what they'll run on. They'll put a communist in the White House like they've done before. They will completely and totally take over the electorate. And then we're really screwed, bro. And what's really funny about this is, again, now that I've responded to you, can you please respond to me? Why won't you tell people if you really believe that Democrats are going to save us from World War III and that's the wedge issue, not to vote for them in 2026? That's an insane contradiction.
I don't agree,
Rex,
with that. I agree with holding the Republican Party accountable by not emboldening and enabling them in 2026.
You said that they were going to save us from World War III. Now they're not, huh?
What are we supposed to do, Andrew? Are we supposed to keep voting Republican as they send our sons and daughters off to die?
We already did what we could do. We tried to primary out the ones that we didn't like, and it was Trump's nominees who got in there. That's what actually happened when it was left up to the electorate. The problem that you have, man, is that you're going to yield a ton of power, a ton of power.
You've already
to the biggest
yielded
lunatics
it.
Who have ever existed.
You gave
on
it away
Earth.
To the Likud party. You gave it to Netanyahu with your support.
Oh yeah, I gave it away because I voted for the same guy.
It's
you
two
voted
devils,
for.
Man. It's two demons.
Yeah. So I guess you and I are both in the Israeli shills then, because we both voted for Trump, huh?
Better get that 7,000. We'll see you after this break.
Yeah, you better get your 8.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what? Just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, it's that last segment. We're talking about things, having some fun, debating our positions. Andrew Wilson is the host of The Crucible. We're talking about Iran war, and I think we're going to get into Epstein this segment. I want to talk to you about the Epstein apologetics, but I don't want to leave it hanging there. Reviewing what we just said, I'll give you the floor.
Well, I mean, it's fine for us to get into a different topic. I understand the debates get heated. I never take it personally. I never have. We have different positions and we have different ideologies, but I'll just leave it at, no, I've never been an Iran war supporter. I do think that the right wing are the by far better governing candidates and better governing force than Democrats. I don't think Democrats are going to save us, nor do I even think that they would stop any wars that were going on. I don't believe it for a second.
All right. I just don't believe the right wing is in charge. Like you say, this is the issue that I have. We can point to the Democrats. You can point at the radical Marxist, socialist, communist agenda. You can say that is actually in charge. My issue is the Democrats think that they're right. The Republicans know that they're wrong and they lie to their electorate. How do we hold them accountable?
Well, both parties ultimately lie often to their electorate. The thing is that what the one thing you can't get around is that politics is a team sport. In order to legislate, you have to have X amount of votes. And that's not just to get into office. That's for when you are in office. Democrats understand and know this. They will vote along party lines without defectors. Even the communists will get together with the progressives in order to do this because they understand maintaining power is central, right? You have what is called suicidal principles. It's like, look, you can if you want to. If you want to say, look, I'm so principled that I just refuse to even go and vote at all. That's great. But I don't know what the hell that does for anybody. And I don't know what putting Democrats in office, if you really thought that that was going to void World War III, why you wouldn't tell people to go vote for them en masse. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Because you propose it as an absolute, and I'm not proposing it as that. I'm saying 2026 specifically, I'm not showing up to the polls because the peace president lied and took me to war. 2028, I plan to be very involved.
But you're just punishing yourself. You're setting your feet on fire to warm up your hands. You're like, how? Look, getting, because what you do is you get rid of your legislative authority and you give it to progressive lunatics and they will obstruct all legislation that you do want. That's all that they will do for two straight years. Blame that on Republicans to usher in their candidates and they will get them in. They will be in charge and we are going to be in a world of hurt. That is how this works politically. Why do you think they're beating this as a wedge issue so hard? They love it. It's their favorite thing on planet Earth.
Well, they were given it.
They beat it to death.
They were given it.
I agree that this was a Trump blunder. I get it. And I understand that that's now a talking point, which can be used by Democrats and progressives.
Blunder implies accident. This was very deliberate. another nation took us to war, Andrew.
Well, no, blunder doesn't imply accident. It implies that you did something that you weren't supposed to. It was stupid what he did. Yes, I agree. It was on purpose. I agree that he worked in tandem with Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, in order to do this. The only defense that I'll even give to Trump is that I do believe that he thought that this would be over very quickly because the other conflicts that he had been involved with were, like Venezuela, for instance. He had no reason to think that it would become this expanded conflict. But that's the only defense that I'll give to the guy, because many people in his administration told him that this was a bad idea.
Right. So you've changed your mind, and now you call it a war.
What do I change my mind on? Can you tell me what I
changed
my mind on?
7-week conflict, Andrew. 7-week conflict. That's what you said.
And how long had the conflict been going on at that time? For 7 weeks.
So when you kill the Pope, it's not a war. When you kill the Ayatollah, it's not a war. That's not an act of war to you.
No, it's not always if you kill a foreign leader, an act of war. No.
Wow.
It's not.
You know, it's
not always.
Weak.
I don't know what to tell you. That is, in fact, the case. But
that's
this
not
has
real
graduated.
World, any other nation, they kill a leader, they're at war.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it different for us?
That's not true. That's not true. Many nations have had leaders which have been assassinated, and that's been linked to other nations, and they didn't go to war.
But it's not an assassination linked to another nation. It's a military strike. It's a bombing.
Yes, but that's not what's in dispute. What's in dispute here is whether or not at the time it appeared to be more of a conflict than it did a war.
Well, you don't think it's an act of war to kill the Ayatollah.
I think that you're splitting hairs.
How?
It's like, even if I was wrong, let's just say I was incorrect about it being a conflict. Let's just grant it. So what? We both agree it's a war. Both of us. So if that's
but
the case,
you don't agree that killing the Ayatollah is an act of war, which makes it look like, well, why are the Iranians fighting us? They seem to think they're at war with us.
Bro, what part of we both agree it's a war? Are we not? What
no,
are you not getting
no,
here?
No, because you denied.
We don't both agree on that?
Your position at the beginning was wrong, and you knew better. You knew it was a war, and you said it wasn't one because you thought
God.
It could end
Look,
quickly.
Okay, you know what? Just for the sake of getting the conversation forward, Rex, I was wrong. It wasn't a conflict. It was actually war. What have we established? Anything?
Well, I mean, you're willing to write anything and everything off that Trump does, even if he takes us to war, because the Republican
except
Party
I'm
will
not.
Save us.
I mean, you're just making stuff up. Except
then
I'm
how do
not,
we hold them accountable?
I've been very adamant.
How do you hold them accountable for breaking with their promises?
Yeah, so you can do political punishment, especially through acts of Congress. That's the best way to do it. Get them to defund things. They can pass legislation. They can restrain him. You can go to courts. There's a million different ways to restrain the president.
Well, you're against
There's a million
the war.
Different ways to restrain your parties in Congress, including lobbying your own NGOs, including lobbying your own lobbyists. There's a million different ways to restrain them. Your way to restrain them is, let's vote in progressive lunatics who are going to destroy the nation. That's not how you do this, bro. That's the opposite of how you want to do this.
All right. So you've got another position, which is pretty interesting, which is the Epstein position. And there's you, there's Michael Tracy, Gavin McGinnis, who I had on yesterday, also kind of holds to this. I don't know if you'd put it this way. This is what Gavin said, that Epstein's just a pervert. I want to get into this with you. I want to define what your position is on Epstein again, not trying to put words in your mouth. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. So I think, I think Tracy has most of this right, that you have to separate mythology from fact. So Epstein was a hyper predator in Florida who was preying on essentially high school girls or younger, pedophilia, most likely, right? He was up to all sorts of like horrific things. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And Ghislaine Maxwell also was. But the mythology aspect is the Zorro Ranch. They were eating kids. They had like child bakeries there. The mythology is the Lolita Express, that there was blackmail operations which were going on. And those blackmail operations were utilizing video in order to make sure that various political figures and things like this could be blackmailed, essentially. So that's where the mythology aspect of it comes in. So as long as people separate mythos from what we know as fact, I don't really have a problem with it. I don't even have a problem with the idea of the mythology if it's the case that people have good evidence for why it is that they believe some of the things inside of the mythology.
Okay. Okay, so I just want to ask you right off the rip, is Epstein a pedophile, and was he involved in child trafficking?
Well, undoubtedly he was involved in child trafficking. The question is was he involved in child trafficking to himself, or was he involved in child trafficking to other people? That's where the question comes in.
Crew, can we get really quick, can we get the DOJ charges for Southern District in New York, Ghislaine Maxwell punched up on the screen really quick? Andrew, continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other thing on the question of pedophilia. Yeah, I mean, most likely. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he, the way that I understand it, it's a mix between you have, pedophilia and then hebephilia and then, you know, everything after that. Pedophilia is classified as prepubescent children and then hebephilia is classified as, they're like possibly postpubescent, but they're still underage. So I think that he falls into hebephilia category, but it wouldn't surprise me if he fell in the pedophile category as well.
All right, so there's underage hijinks going around. We can kind of just leave it at that. So he's
1,000%.
He's on record, or just lands on record, because she's spending 20 years in jail for conspiring to and committing child trafficking with and for Jeffrey Epstein. Like, those are the charges. So for me,
when I hear
that somebody like Michael Tracy come out there and say, oh, well, there's no evidence of this, this is a satanic panic, basically, I look at the redactions and I say, well, if there are all these redactions for all these quote unquote victims, who is being protected and what's being hidden in your view?
Well, a lot of the redactions are coming out of victim advocacy groups, various lawsuits that are happening, and those are done through the court, which is separate actually from what Trump's powers are for redactions and even congressional power. A lot of that comes out of the courts. Tracy has some pretty good segments on this, on how the victims advocacy groups push for these redactions through courtrooms. And that, I kind of understand why, because if you take what happened, for instance, with Ro Khanna, when Ro Khanna doxed those various people who were on the list, and then it turns out that they weren't even involved in any pedophilia at all. It's like there's a reason why there's a lot of those redactions which are there. We have the Epstein Transparency Act, and they've been going back and forth on this based around the idea of the video and the redactions. So I would love to see it all. Then this is Tracy's position, too, which is interesting. He would prefer to see it all redacted and released, and so would I. I just understand why it isn't.
And that's because the courts did it, in your view?
Most of it, yes.
Most of
the redactions come from courts, from victim advocacy groups, and from various lawsuits, and from people who want to protect their identity, who might be named in the Epstein files, but they themselves did nothing wrong.
Okay, so we kind of made, or you made, the pedophilia, I believe hebephilia, or whatever it's called, distinction earlier before. Pam Bondi
One's prepubescent, one's postpubescent.
So I think to most people that really doesn't matter. Like, if it's under 18, it's a crime, and then someone that's that old shouldn't be
doing
it. I agree,
it's a crime.
Yeah, I agree with that. So when you look at Epstein and you look at the redactions, it's not just the redactions, it's the 3 million unreleased files. What do you say about that?
Yeah, so most of that, as this, again, this is the research that I've read, and I've looked at both ends of it. So Pam Bondi said that most of the redactions on video, for instance, came from the fact that this was mostly Epstein's porn, and that had been investigated. And it's true that they did age play pornography, but even a lot of the pictures which were leaked out, where it appeared like it was a young girl, you know, like perverts on the internet were like, no, I saw that porn, it's this one. And you'll see that on X. They're like, nope, that's actually just age play pornography, this type of thing. So he had a pretty staunch porn file. And then as far as the other files that haven't come out, my understanding is that those fall under the same category. They're like unnecessary files to send out, or they're protected by victim advocacy groups, this kind of thing.
Do you believe
this is my understanding of it?
No, I get it. Do you believe he was an international sex trafficker?
I don't think that there's evidence to support that Epstein was involved in international sex blackmail operations. There seems to be a lot of evidence that he was at least tied to intelligence agencies, which doesn't surprise me, because he was a banker for Rothschild and he was an investment banker for other large banking operations. So that wouldn't surprise me at all if he had intelligence links. Most of these guys seem to. But I haven't seen any good compelling evidence that this guy was flying children around the world for other people to have sex with and then blackmail them. And that's where the mythology part comes in.
So you completely disregard all uses of coded language?
No.
No? You don't? Well, pizza, cheese holders, grape soda, hot dogs, things like this. I eat the beef jerky or else the demons come for me. The shadows come around
just,
me. What
it, stuff
the
problem
like that?
Is like, it just doesn't demonstrate what it is you're trying to demonstrate. It is the in fact, the case, it's awful suspicious. I agree with you. The idea of coded language always is, but do you remember the Pizzagate and the stuff that happened around that? That was all based around coded language and it was all nonsense. There was no
The Podesta emails are not a part of Comet Pizza, and that was also a part of Pizzagate. So you're going to conflate two things here.
Well, no, I'm not. The Podesta emails and spirit cooking had to do with some lunatic's art project, and that was conflated and tied in to the fact that Podesta was diddling kids, and then that was tied into Pizzagate. It's like,
but if it's
most
just
of that wasn't true.
If it's just a lunatic's art project, then why are all the most powerful people involved in it, and why are they involved with pedophiles? Like
for the
Jeffrey
same
Epstein,
reason
Mike
that most for the same reason most elites get involved in art, because it's a massive racket worth billions of dollars, and they hide their money through it. So billionaires have been doing that for years and years and years. Do you really think that they're buying
Hold
a
on,
painting
we got
that was
on the
made
screen?
From somebody you, for $50 million?
Go back to that in the slideshow. Do you think this is a part of an art scam? Where they got, you know, the fat guy, like, raping the silhouette of the little kid on the bed. Is that a part of art?
Yeah, that's out of my language. It wouldn't surprise me if Podesta was a total, absolute scumbag of the tallest order. The problem that you have is, like, you have to separate mythology and weirdness and grossness and sickness from reality. The reality is there was never, ever, at Rocket Pizza, a basement where kids were getting tortured and they were being essayed. That's just not true. Factually, it's not true. And you can be upset about it all you want, but that is in fact the case. Right now, factually, you don't have evidence that Epstein was flying children around the world as part of blackmail operations. You don't have the evidence for it.
We have evidence.
You can have great suspicions.
Mm-hmm. We have evidence that he trafficked children. We have evidence that he did it with Ghislaine Maxwell.
To
She's
who,
in jail
though?
For 20 years.
To himself
with Ghislaine.
To himself, right. Exactly.
All
right,
so if he trafficked children to himself and he's this billionaire with all these insane connections, wouldn't it not be a crazy leap of logic to assume he's doing this with other people if him and Ghislaine
It wouldn't
are doing
be.
It?
No, of course not. It wouldn't be a great leap of logic, but there's just not any good evidence there to support it. That's the problem that you have. That's why you have to be very cautious, because you can build up huge mythologies around what is called, you know, logic gaps or evidence of the gaps, meaning, look, I don't actually know, but my speculation becomes the logic. And then I can make these logical leaps based on my speculation. Now we get into these are truth claims. And it's like, you can't make those truth claims because they're not true. You have to at least have the evidence to back up the truth claim, or you can't really make the claim, right? You can just say, I have suspicions of, if that was it, if people were like, look, I have suspicions of this. This is really weird. This needs to be followed up on. We want more answers to this. I think that that would be fine. But this has transcended that. And it is, in fact, the case that there is a psychosis, which is happening in the United States around this, where people now believe that at the top levels of government, we have people who are eating children, that they're eating their pineal glands, that they're eating their sexual organs, that they're killing them and murdering them, and they're essaying them. And it's like, that's a hell of a thing to say without good, compelling proof, man.
All right, I take that point. I can take that point. I can understand it. The problem is, though, he's on record as a child trafficker. He's a billionaire. He has these connections. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. I don't believe that.
But that works against you, too. That's the same argument I can make back. It's like, yeah, you're right. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. But the problem is that you making the affirmative claim, there's an absence of evidence, and therefore that's the evidence, is the same argument. That's not evidence.
It is a bit odd that the people that promised to expose everything and end the wars started the wars and exposed nothing. And they say, well, we had to do the war, and then we had nothing to expose because it's all fake. I guess we're supposed to just trust them.
Well, no, nobody's asking you to trust them. I think, again, just like Tracy's position, I would love to see all of these files unredacted and released. But you have victims who don't want that to happen. They don't want it to happen. And take, for instance, a lot of these victims don't have very much credibility to begin with. And they're not, a lot of it has to do with money, has to do with various victim funds that they had access to. It became a
multi-million dollar industry to be an Epstein victim. So it's like, look, you have also evidence to question that narrative. And it's like, look, I love skeptics. I just used to love them a lot more when they were skeptical of their own claims too, their own side's claims. Like, be skeptical of both. It's fine to be like, look, I want the government to be more transparent. I want them to release all the unredacted files. I want to know what happened. But you also need to be skeptical of your own claims and be like, I actually don't know. And you shouldn't make bold claims that at the highest level of government, children are getting eaten and molested and raped by high level government officials, and it's being covered up. We don't have evidence for that, man. Now, if you want to say Epstein trafficked kids to himself, I agree 100% that happened. But you lack the evidence to show that he was trafficking children to other people as part of massive intelligence blackmail operations. I myself believe that narrative. I believed it myself until I went and looked into it and read a lot of Tracy's research. And his research is quite good.
All right. Well, Andrew, we disagree on this. I think we'll probably do another stream in the future as facts coincide. Thank you for your time. The Crucible, where do they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube at The Crucible. You can find me on Rumble. I do the extravaganza daily. You can also find me on X at Paleo ChristCon. And Rex, I know that we disagree fervently about many things, but I still like you, man. And I appreciate being on your show.
All right. Yeah. Take it easy, Andrew. Appreciate your time. Have a good evening.
You too. Take care.
All right. We will see you guys tomorrow as well. I'll also be in the chair. I think my dad will be here for the first hour. I do want to tell you guys, if you want to support debates, discussions, streams like these, the main thing to do besides even supporting the store is sharing the live link, sharing the feed, sharing the clips. Like my dad said at the beginning of the show, we make it very easy to do that. We have a whole team of dedicated clippers in there, the crew, the engineers that are constantly working. And if you see a segment you like, if you think there was a good point made, super easy to send that to a friend, a family member, a loved one, a coworker, you name it. More people need to know the information that you know. And here's the thing. I disagree with him vehemently on his positions. I should know mine better and learn mine better. So we're going to work on doing all of that and more in the future. That's what we do at the Alex Jones Network. And we want you to go to the Alex Jones store if you want to continue to support that work. We have the finest products available. I do want to tell you, if you're already taking Methylene Blue, I invented two products that work in tangent with that to really enhance, upgrade that. Not just that, just really for mitochondrial health, biogenesis, exercise support, you name it. Of course, I'm talking about the Power Drive Bundle from thealexjonesstore.com. You can go to thealexjonesstore.com and you can get the Power Drive Bundle. What does that contain? Methyl Drive, Power Plant, and Methylene Blue. Methyl Drive has the CoQ10, the PQQ to enhance mitochondrial biogenesis, aid the electron transport chain, and do all things to help you increase your ATP and increase your mitochondrial resilience. It's also got the magnesium in there, and it's got the methylated, the activated, the proper form of vitamin B12 that you want. That's Ultimate Methyl Drive. Combine it with Power Plant, with the Rhodiola Rosea, that's Golden Root, the Vikings chewed on that, boost dopamine, boost norepinephrine, boost exercise tolerance, support that, attenuate that. Take cordyceps mushroom as well. Really boosts ATP. Great for your mitochondria. Great nootropic as well. Really, really, really will aid you in that cardio. And that's all in Power Plant along with the boron, the selenium, and the zinc. If you're deficient, that's going to massively raise your testosterone. People have been asking for a long time, Rex, where is the super male vitality? Where is it? Is it around? Does it exist? And I have to say, not right now, but we got something even better. It's called Power Plant, and it's included in that bundle. That's the Power Drive Bundle. Power Drive Bundle is that dual formula performance stack that helps support energy production, mental clarity, and stress resilience. Each daily stack delivers advanced adaptogens, mitochondrial nutrients, and powerful minerals, and your purchase directly keeps Alex Jones on the air. That is 110% correct. If you want this network to flourish in the future, we want to make you, or we want to have you make that decision to go to the store and support us by getting any one of these phenomenal products. I have literally been doing this since I was like 8 years old. First time I wrote an ad, I think I was like 13 or 14 selling Blocket Pockets, but I've sold Knockout. I've sold BrainForce over the years. And now at thealexjonesstore.com, we have that ultimate power. And we got deals on all the formulas, all the flavors on that ultimate power. You want the nootropic better than Turbo Force? We have it. We have that shower head with that happy frog friend on it. Every time you see the frog friend, you're reminded that you made the right decision to give your family clean water, clean air and to support the fight, thealexjonesstore.com. We got that ultra methylene red, cognitive power, cellular fuel, lasting energy. On a budget, this is one of the best mitochondrial health blends that you're going to find available. We have it right now at discount, ultra methylene red Shilajit tincture. You really got to get this. If you've been liking the pills, you've been liking the gummies, go straight to the source, get even more concentrated, even more pure Shilajit tincture. And we also have the turmeric as well. We make it so easy to support us. And in reality, if you just go to the grocery store and you see the items in the supplement aisle at the grocery that are picked in, that are off the shelves, it's what we sell because it's the most popular stuff. What does all this stuff do? It aids in your mitochondrial health, aids in your cellular resilience. As you get older, more and more of your cells become senescent. What that means is they're not efficient. They create a lot of waste products, cytokine storms, oxidative stress, you name it. What does that result in? It results in you getting older, weaker, feeling more tired, having more aches and pains. Look into the science of everything I'm saying to you right now. The future of health is mitochondrial biogenesis, mitochondrial health, and making sure you're dealing with oxidative stress by using super powerful antioxidants. Of course, talk to your doctor about any supplement advice I give you, but do your own research, free yourself, break your chains, go to thealexjonesstore.com, get yourself that Power Drive bundle. Go do it right now.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off. Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots. All 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture. Detoxifying, go up to spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene Blue Tincture, 40% off. CMOS Gummies, 40% off. Shilajit Gummies, 40% off. Methylene Blue Gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer-like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is not a short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery T-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.